If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 3, 2, 1. Burp.
It ain't natural.
Hear that?
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
Is that so he doesn't are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Okay, well let me just say that I hear what you're saying and I appreciate your concern, all right? Your thoughts are very well organized, presented clearly and concisely. But bear with me. Are you mental?
Hey everybody, what's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Well, the call letters are new. I can understand why you'd have trouble with some of the letters.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And now.
Good morning, window lickers. Let's get this mother party started.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. You listen to Rodney on the Rock right here. That was always been my very favorite Blondie song.
It's Muse.
In the Sun from Blondie off the very first Blondie album. Mm. And to this day, Blondie never does that song.
What?
Live in concert. They used to. They used to do that when they played the Starwood and the Whiskey A Go-Go and stuff.
Tell me more.
And I remember Jenny Lenz took these pictures of Blondie when she did that song. And Debbie Harry's dress flew up. And then Debbie was really mad when that picture was printed. But anyway, that's a song that they never do live.
It's a good
story. For some odd reason. It's a great song. In the Sun, Blondie. Here's a new song from the Polysphonic Spree. They have a new album out from Polysphonic Spree. The Polysphonic Spree.
I'm looking at my future, aren't I?
Yes, you are. That's an excellent point.
It's a little scary.
You could be so lucky as to still be that good whenever you get to be doing his show.
We need to have some sort of a meeting, some sort of a seminar, where we decide what's a good story to tell. You
well,
know,
because there. I know you'd send me there. I
of course.
That.
There are millions and millions of stories that each person has during the course of the day. Most of them not really good enough to tell. And I saw them perform that song one time in concert. Could be right at the top.
It's not a good story.
Because then what are the people that are listening supposed to, how are they supposed to respond? Oh.
Unless his point was just maybe you're a Blondie fan and you've seen a photograph of Debbie Harry with her dress blown up and now you know more about who took it and what was going on stage at the time, maybe. But that seems like a pretty specific audience to get into on the
How many people do you think he's speaking to that had that exact thing?
Well,
less than
five are listening to the show, so it's kind of hard.
Oh, he's magic.
He's the best. Hey, we had some new Rodney tape a couple weeks ago. I don't think I've heard any of it yet. Has that debuted yet?
I don't know. When did we have it?
Omar said it was fantastic. He said we had some great new Rodney tape, but I never heard anything beyond that.
I just looked at Mike, and he gave me the, I wonder what I'm going to eat today.
Look,
there's no idea what we're talking about.
I've got a new men's health issue in the other room I need to go read.
I didn't know if you meant had you heard it or had it been played on the show. It has not been played on the Kevin and Bean show. I didn't know if
Is
you
it good?
If you heard it first. Do you want to just give it a shot
yep,
right
let's
now?
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Let's just roll it.
Okay.
None of us have heard it. Here we go.
Better save your money. I hear there's going to be a recession coming up. What are we going to do? We have to change our TVs to something else now. No more 2009. We're supposed to change our TV sets.
Is he talking about digital TVs?
Yes.
Versus,
oh, my God. Good info, Roddy.
I'm glad
that you're dealing with that on your show. It's appropriate.
She's up for a Grammy, you know.
Okay.
Welcome to L.A. I'm sure they enjoy the weather. Die, die, die.
Ooh, good.
Help, she can't swim. Can you pass the pencil test? You're so gay. And it kind of slowly fades out. Tickets are beyond sold out already. Pretty amazing.
How can tickets be beyond sold out?
It does seem like there's no further level beyond. They're gone.
Isn't sold out pretty much the limit?
Yeah.
You're so gay. You are so gay.
Yes.
Doing? I don't even understand.
Who knows? Usually you can find words that are kind of out of context. I don't know if it was a song title or whatever.
Okay.
Those, by the way, are ones that I brought in a long time ago and forgot about. That's not the one that Omar sent in.
There's
so we have
more.
Even more.
exciting.
Oh, that's fantastic. He's obsessed with the pencil test. And refresh my memory, Lisa, that has something to do with boobies, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to put a pencil under your breast. Mm-hmm. And if you can hold the pencil, you pass the pencil test.
And is that good or bad?
It depends, because if you can hold a typewriter, that's not good.
Good point.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of determining whether they're big enough, in other words, if they can hold a pencil.
Exactly.
I see. Okay, I support that.
Okay, good.
Well, that's good news. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, and it's the 6th of February. Ola.
Tell me you guys saw. I'm sure you did. It was all over the news yesterday. Tell me you saw the awesome, awesome, awesome Hillary Clinton interview. She was on. She was doing a series of satellite interviews for Super Tuesday from New York, and this particular interview was with San Francisco station Channel 2. Anyone see it?
No.
I was actively staying away from television because I knew it was Super Tuesday coverage everywhere.
Right.
Sure.
So I just stayed away. I did not turn it on. I thought about it, and I thought, no possible way. Who could be interested in that?
Bean.
I watched every second of it and even stayed up late to see the results of California before I went to bed. But this doesn't really have anything to do with politics as much as it does with how funny it is that you're San Francisco anchorman and you've probably done all the preparation to have the senator on you know, the day before Super Tuesday. And you promote it all day long and all throughout the newscast. And finally, you get your 5 minutes with Senator Clinton. And here's how the interview goes.
How will you use your husband, Bill Clinton, in the administration? We assume he won't be. You know, this.
Sorry.
What the?
I was reading in the paper yesterday, and this is what happens in these long campaigns. You get the.
Yes.
We know that I won't hold you on here any longer because you probably could use some water.
Sorry. Come on.
Senator, thank you. Hillary Clinton live from New York.
There's the exclusive interview right there with Senator Clinton.
Is that how you respond to questions that you don't want to answer?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how often you can get away with pulling that one off, but that's what happened to that poor schmuck trying to interview her. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Is that the best?
Yes. By the way, a side note on that. If Bill was able to make time for BJs in the White House when he was president, imagine when he's not president, he's first lady or first husband or whatever, and he's living in the White House. He's got nothing to do, really.
Hey, a couple of the Republicans are trying to make that point to scare people away from voting for Hillary.
Are you kidding?
Because they're afraid of Bill. Wasn't it Mitt Romney who came out last week, Lisa, who said he didn't want a White House with Bill Clinton roaming around with nothing to do?
Yeah. Did he say that specifically?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's funny.
He said he had like a kind of a smirk on his face, but it was still funny.
That is funny. I'd like to think that there's all kinds of sex going on in the White House. That's the White House I want.
Sure.
I want that to be happening.
George Bush too? The West Wing. Nobody
George Bush, that. Absolutely. Yes. Who
not
needs
Laura,
it more
though.
Than him? No, not with Laura. No, God, no.
Isn't it weird, by the way, that he has vanished? He, you know, emerged briefly for the State of the Union address, just like a groundhog, and then he went away.
Yeah.
And then you don't hear a word about him anymore. We're all looking ahead already.
He sent his budget electronically. Couldn't even be bothered to print it out.
I'm sure that the Republican Party has made it perfectly clear that he may not be helping their cause.
Yeah, none of the candidates seem to be asking him to stump for them. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, Senator, you had a comment on that?
Sorry.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. Anyway, that's your interview of the week right there.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you watched every second of that for that. That's fantastic. I'm sorry. I got something in my throat. I can't tell what you're talking about. Your husband getting BJs! All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Larry King had Snoop Dogg on. And Larry King had Snoop Dogg on.
Say no more.
Larry King, 900 years old. Snoop Dogg, hip, young, not a good match.
It's like two people who don't speak the same language.
Yes.
It's like the African click language dude and someone who speaks Dutch or something.
But my favorite thing about Larry is that he actually sees himself as the great communicator and can get on Snoop's level. And that goes poorly.
So anyway, I
got some highlights of that coming up. You know that old urban legend about waking up in a tub with ice and on the mirror it says, get to the hospital and you're missing a kidney?
Yeah.
I'll bet we took 100 calls from people telling us that's true. No, I'm serious. My brother's friend's sister saw it, they always say.
Yeah.
Never true. Not true. Urban legend. Not true. Until now, when it is true in India. Apparently in India, doctors, they have doctors that will, you could be walking down the street, next thing you know, you wake up, You got an incision and one kidney left.
Oh, my God.
So I guess it's a black market thing. They just they just take them by force and sell them.
It's unbelievable.
Good times.
Love it. I want to get in on that.
We have Grammy tickets we're giving away. We are doing it each day this week in the 7 o'clock hour. So more tickets for you to go to the Grammys. We have people who've given up stupid stuff for Lent. I'm not Catholic.
Very popular this time of year.
I'm not Catholic, so I don't quite fully understand Lent. But some of the stuff that people are giving up, I don't...
I was raised Catholic. I never gave up a damn thing.
Yeah, really?
I guess I was a bad Catholic.
Also, well, you gave up what was important. You know what I'm saying?
Sex. No. He's saying sex.
I didn't.
I'm saying she gave up.
Oh, I see. I got
it. Let's see. Astrologer Susan Miller.
Yeah.
Going to be on the program today. And she's clearly bogus, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is Speed and I are not, we're smart enough to understand that people don't really much care what our opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like people love this astrologer crap.
Well, if there's just any chance that someone could actually tell you something that would be useful.
But that's not the attitude. Most of the time, the attitude is, I want to know. You tell me. It's not just a little chance. It's like, I'm thinking about changing jobs and relationships and divorcing my parents. Should I do it? Well, the stars look like they're aligned. Okay, I'm in.
Sometimes that's as good as anything.
That seems scary. But anyway, we're going to talk to her. We don't believe, but many, many of you do. We can't – the phone lines are as jammed for that as anything that we do.
Yeah.
I'd say it's beyond sold out when she comes on the show.
It's beyond sold out. That's true. Plus, don't forget K-Rock's World Tour destination number 5, Muse in South Africa. You can qualify coming up very soon.
Oh, wait a minute. What?
Why are we starting with that?
What's the deal here, Ralph?
Well, I think certain dates need to be commemorated regardless of their tragic contents. We need to – spend some time thinking about them before we just get on with our daily activities.
We don't usually ever do that.
Sometimes as time passes, you get distance from the tragedy, and so it seems less important. But I think it's time to take a moment just to acknowledge the fact that something horrible has happened, and we need to ruminate on that a touch before we
move on. So what you're saying is you're one of those people who fears that 15 years from now, 9/11 will just be another day on a calendar.
Exactly.
It's important every year on 9/11 or December 7th or whatever the bad
just
day
to
is.
Just take a moment.
Say, let's remember, okay?
That's right. Because those who do not remember history, Bean, are doomed to repeat it.
I have heard that. So February 6th is the day now we should be sad about?
Yes. In this date, in 1998, in the Dominican Republic, a man named Falco was killed in a traffic accident.
No! God damn it, no!
And we not only lost a musical genius, but I like to think a friend.
You've never met him.
But if I had met him.
Right, but you haven't.
We'd been friends.
Okay, but you haven't because he's...
But had we met, Falco and I, friends.
Should this be a holiday? Is it almost sacrilegious that we even came into work today?
Oh, that I wish. That the powers that be would have the clear thinking to recognize we all could use a day just to stay at home, take off from work or school, and just spend some time with our thoughts of Falco.
Plus, Omar could make a song.
That's right.
So freaking Dr. King gets a day.
Are gonna happen. Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Not so much for the Falco.
Martin Luther King, who never, by the way, to my knowledge, had a hit single.
You're right.
And then Falco, nothing. Bupkis, zero. Mm. So I just want you to think as you go about your day today, just keep a good thought for Falco.
And that'll help.
Who passed away today in 1998 in the Dominican Republic. He was taken from us too soon.
Yeah, it's been 10 very lonely years without the Falco. But at least the movie's coming, right?
Oh, I can't wait for the movie. Falco. We're still alive, damn it. Of course, it's in German, which I don't really know the exact translation, but that's
title. If they don't give you tickets for the Showbiz Beat to give away to some sort of character,
I am not on the red carpet interviewing
Falco?
Hans Luftensteinken, who plays Falco, there is no justice. And by the way, no peace.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes. All right, let's take a look at the Showbiz news, shall we?
Okay.
All right, Barack, you didn't win California. But you won something even more important.
Your heart?
A little time with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. I'm running for president then.
Apparently, Scarlett Johansson, Wyclef Jean, and Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls have all contacted Mr. Obama and have volunteered to make a music video supporting his campaign. a new song entitled Yes We Can.
They've already done that.
That's nice.
Big slug.
They've already done that, and you can see it, and she is in it. I was like, is that Scarlett Johansson? Are you kidding me?
Yes We Can is the name of the new song and video.
I need to run for president.
Wasn't that Sammy Davis' junior campaign slogan, by the way? Yes, I can.
It was.
Yeah, I think it was, too. As long as Frank Sinatra says it's okay.
I was watching Mr. Obama's speech last night.
Yes.
Near the end of Long Primary Night. And they showed, and the reporters on Fox News after the speech pointed this out. There are people in the crowd, particularly women, who are just rapturous over this guy, hanging on every words, crying and screaming and jumping up and down like they're watching Elvis Presley at his prime. It's unbelievable the charisma and magnetism that he's brought to the campaign trail.
He's like a black Zac Efron.
Yeah, he is.
The magic that Obama has. So, yeah, congratulations on your new video, Barack. I'm looking forward to checking it out. I was watching his speech last night as well. I was watching CNN to see the results of the Super Tuesday.
God, I couldn't have been less interested.
I thought it was fascinating.
Well, you're you, Kevin.
To watch the machine, the political machine in progress. And he has got a lot of very charismatic qualities about him.
Barack?
Yes. He is really a fascinating sort of public speaker and has a lot of hopes and dreams for this country.
A lot.
A lot of vision.
Yes.
Not so much any plans, as far
specifics.
As I can tell.
Nope. But no
he
specifics
wants
at all.
A lot of good things, which
he's
I think
selling
is
hope,
nice.
Is he?
He's got a lot of hope. He's been selling hope since 2008. Hope, hope, hope sold here. That's what he says on his T-shirt.
That hope, dreams, be his slogan.
Hope, 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 dreams, hope, dreams.
I was watching. I was like, wow, this is very inspiring. But how are you going to do any of that?
Right.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Well, Ralph, he's going to end war and cure poverty and stamp out disease. I mean, he's got
medical care
all
for everybody.
Absolutely,
disease is going to be gone. Education's going to be good again. We're going to be the best and the brightest. We're going to make all the things. We're going to lead the powers.
He's not as good on the specifics as he is the hope.
Look, I'm all for hope. I love a man with vision.
But
you know,
you'd like a little something more.
You got Barbara Eden sitting in a bottle on your desk. I'm not quite sure how all that stuff's going to go down.
How you're going to make it work.
Yeah.
It was a great speech, though, wasn't
great
it,
great speech. Like I said, the guy is charismatic. He is inspiring. Maybe I'm a little cynical, but I would just like a few more nuts and or bolts.
I think that the people in America, after this past 8 years, are dying for charisma.
I agree.
It doesn't matter.
They're dying for hope. They're dying for optimism.
Anything.
They're tired of being sad.
They're also tired of nodding off when the president speaks. And when Obama speaks, he's good at it.
But I'm just saying, if you're the first black president and you set up, hey, I'm going to do you all these things for you, and then you don't do them, a lot of people are going to say,
you think?
Last time I voted for a black dude.
But God, there's not a president out there that's done what he said he was going to do.
Right.
It's never that easy. If they came out and said the truth, which is I'm going to try to get something done for health care and we'll see if that works.
Yeah, but Obama doesn't even say that. He just says hope a lot.
Yeah, if you go to his website,
hope,
he's got
dreams,
a lot of specifics.
Dreams, hope, hope, dreams.
That's not what people are voting on right now.
I know. No, they're voting on hope and dreams.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what his line was, and I wanted your reaction to this, Ralph, since you saw the speech, is he said, we're the people that we've been waiting for.
That's right.
Did you hear what he said at the speech last night?
Yep.
And I'm thinking,
that's a great
first of all, that's terrifying, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if
Tom
he's looking Cruise-esque. Around at us, yeah, he's looking around at we're the ones who are
supposed
to make this
happen. We're the ones who are supposed to save everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping for someone maybe a little smarter than us.
Dante, that is the theme, though. If there's a one through line through everybody's campaign this year, it's put the people back in Washington. We're going to get rid of the politicians and put the people in Washington. That's what Mitt Romney was saying last night.
Which
is time for the politicians to leave Washington. The people are going to take over. Let me tell you something. The people want to sit their asses on a couch and play video games and eat Cheez-Its.
And have you hand them money.
Yeah, they're not that interested in doing anything for the country. So
that's why we're not running. That's why we have you run.
We need to find good politicians who will stay in Washington and let us stay at home. That's what we really want. It's all well and good in the rhetoric, but nobody really wants to do anything.
Every candidate has the same message. It's a variation on a theme, which is, boy, this last guy was bad.
Yeah.
That's it. They all say it in a different way.
They should all just come out and say, look, I can do no worse. Vote for me. People say, he's right. Interesting stuff on TMZ.com today, as always. Finally, we can now read the restraining order that Britney Spears' mother and sister and dad got against their creepy hanger-on leech, Sam Lufty, the guy who's running around with Britney.
Oh, these are the legal papers?
This is the restraining order. The things they're accusing him of.
in order to justify him staying 250 feet away from Britney at all times. Okay, here's some of the things they list. They claim that he drugged Britney by grinding up pills and hiding them in her food.
Yeah.
So she had no idea she was taking it?
That's what they claim.
Okay.
They claim he cut her home phone line and hid her cell phones to control who she talked to. He constantly tells her that her mother is unfit, a piece of trash, and a whore.
Well, he could be right on with that one.
Who cares more about her current boyfriend, Adnan Galib, than she does her own kids and doesn't deserve to have the kids?
That's a given, too.
They also claim that Adnan, he claimed, rather, to Brittany that Adnan is gay.
Oh, bro.
That is the weakest thing. Your new boyfriend's gay. You know your new boyfriend you love so much, you don't want to spend time with me, you want to spend time with him? He's gay.
By the way, that's what all guys say when somebody has the girl you want. That's the only out. Yeah. Oh, he's gay. Whatever.
That's what all seventh graders say when they're talking to each other on the playground.
Hey, that's even more impressive. It's actually a compliment to the other guy that he was able to steal your woman away from you and he's gay. Yeah. I mean, that you got to give respect to that guy.
Yeah. Apparently, he also told Mrs. Spears, if you try to get rid of me, Britney will be dead, and I'll pee on her grave.
Yeah!
Dude.
What?
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah. We've heard some of this language before in that article we were reading.
We have.
He can be vicious.
Yeah.
It's not enough that she's dead, though. I mean, yeah, you got to go the extra step and
pee.
Pee
on the grave.
I mean, really.
Little side note. When they came to get Britney for her intervention and take her to the hospital, she became very agitated and could not stop moving, claimed the Spearses. She cleaned the house. She changed her clothes many times. She also changed the clothes of her three dogs many times. OCD. And apparently at one point she picked up a bottle of pills of her own medication, read the label, and then asked her mom and sister, what does insomnia mean?
Dear Lord.
Wow.
This intervention may well save her life.
Speaking of drugs and stars, the toxicology tests from Heath Ledger's autopsy should be released sometime this morning, so we'll keep you posted on that to see what he had in his bloodstream.
Heath Ledger took too many pills. 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 Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Early results are in.
Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills.
David Bowie calling in.
How about that?
Wow, how about that? David Bowie's less talented cousin. And we want to send our love and best wishes to our pal William Shatner.
What happened?
If you guys heard or not, but he underwent hip replacement surgery last week.
No
kidding.
Yeah. Dude. Apparently, things were touch and go with the Shat in the operating room.
Oh.
His heart started beating erratically while he was under during the operation. And that wigged out the doctors and Mr. Shatner himself when he woke up and was told what happened. But he has started walking. According to Mr. Shatner's people, he feels fine and he's going to start taking better care of himself. So
that's great.
Maybe he'll drop a few lbs.
Yeah.
Give some
now,
relief to that other hip.
Kevin, you are sad to hear he pulled through because he's 75, right? It's time for him to die.
Nah,
right?
He's 75, but he acts 40.
Not the captain.
I like him.
Okay, because we all send him best wishes. I'm just afraid he may be too old to get any kind of sympathy from you.
Just be on the safe side. He also had the hips replaced of his favorite horse.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure they're all on the
it?
Same page. No, they just want to make sure everything's on the same page.
Right.
You know, he loves his horses.
He does.
He does.
It's good enough for him. It's good enough for his horses, he claims. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Farrell. He played B.J. Honeycutt on MASH. Really? Really? You're just going to let B.J. hang out there without anything, fellas? That's really, I'm surprised at you. He is 69 years old today.
69.
Have you heard Psycho Mike's new commercial for the Virgin Airlines? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just heard it just now. It's unbelievable.
We might have to take some time and dissect that little gem. Because he is making Lightning look like the world's greatest pitch man. You barely hear any Virgin in that at all. It's like, I love video games, and here's what I do. And I was playing video games. Oh, do I love things. And here's what I accomplished when I was playing a video game.
I'm good at it, too.
Oh,
you want
to
know what my score was?
And I'm good, and I love video games. Virgin Land.
That's like my seventh one. I'm surprised it took you this long to comment.
Well, I usually tune out whenever I hear your voice on the radio, but I was forced to hear the one this morning. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sit in a chair and I play video games.
It's fairly low energy, isn't it, Ralph?
No, it's very exciting. I long for the AIS commercials. I'm waiting for that this morning. Lightning to wake me up. Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses. Ah! It's 46 today. And Rick Astley, singer Rick Astley. Oh, Rick. Oh, come on. Love Rick Astley. Oh, Rick is 42 years old. Oh, yeah. No.
One of the gayest songs
ever. One of
ever.
The greatest songs. By gay, you mean great.
That's a jam.
All right, greatly gay, yes.
Oh, how dare you. Beyond great.
We need to do a phone-in topic and nominate the 10 gayest songs ever.
How dare you.
That's a great
you.
Idea.
That would be
Will
on
you
it.
Leave Rick right out of that.
That would be on it.
Stop it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm not a big CNN watcher. I don't spend a lot of time on CNN.
Sure.
Don't like the politics much. But they do have a talk show on there that's hosted by Larry King. Larry King began his career, I think in the first 250 years of his life, he did overnight radio, like a national show for kooks to call in on.
Uh-huh.
250 years straight. Then,
by the way, I used to listen to that radio show all the time, too. And it's nothing like the Larry King you hear today. I mean, it's hard to imagine when you see Old Man King on the TV now, but he actually did used to be a pretty decent host.
Right, but now he's got Alzheimer's, and he just flat out crazy. He's horrible, and now I'm interested. I didn't care at all before. But now that they've got a super old guy who doesn't know anything about anyone that he interviews, I'm in.
And I love that they keep it CNN, bear in mind, and there are some guests that are appropriate. He ought to have on politicians and newsmakers, but when they try to hip him up by having on, as we'll hear from Snoop Dogg in a moment, like they have a guy like Kid Rock on, who, let's face it, Larry King doesn't know who Kid Rock is. In fact, in this tape you'll hear at the end of the hour, he doesn't even realize that he's already met Kid Rock.
I'll tell you something, kid.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to meeting you.
All right, Larry, you just met him. All right.
That was after 60 minutes of an interview with him.
Even somebody that he knows about, like Robert Blake, for instance, when he had him on around the trial time, this is the kind of conversation you get when you've got a master interviewer like Larry King behind the mic.
You really want to go there?
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
How do I know?
How do I know?
Because you know people that she knew. I don't know people that she knew.
I don't know.
That's the kind of interview you get out of Larry.
See, that's magic. Now I'm interested when he's doing that. Remember, he's old, but he should know the Beatles.
Of course he should know.
Because they were, you know, big in the 1860s, and he was probably 70 by then.
Yeah.
So he's got to know the Beatles.
Where were you when John passed?
When John passed, I was in Sussex, at my home in Sussex. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
George, where were you?
George.
No, this is Ringo.
Ringo, where were you? Ringo.
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to it when George yeah,
I was. No, you weren't, Larry. You've got
shut
his
up.
Name
it's
wrong.
My turn.
I know, but you've got your name wrong,
Ringo.
On national
give him
television.
A break.
And then, of course, he's just filthy, too.
What's with the poll?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it.
I don't know what he's talking about there.
Tell me about the dog father stopping by.
Well, if you were to start creating Larry King shows for me to watch, it would be these really, really horrible mixes. Snoop Dogg. How much could Larry King know? How much could he care? And Snoop, by the way, is a guy who he's really well-spoken.
Yeah.
And he's really quick. But Larry, just the opposite. Old, doesn't know anything. However, when Snoop stopped by his studio, Larry was on fire. I've never seen someone more excited to have a guest. And I don't think he was kidding. He was beside himself about Snoop's visit and tried to work in some of Snoop's lingo, kind of to make him feel at home.
Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'. Rapper, dog father, football coach, TV star.
Ooh.
The man who put the izzle in faux shizzle.
Come on.
Yes.
Wow. Now, clearly they wrote that for
of
him.
Of course.
But the fact that he had the balls to try to say it.
Can you imagine the run through before? What's crack-a-lackin'? How do I crack a what?
He's 80. He's got no business reading that.
Now listen to his enthusiasm as he introduces Snoop. And I've never seen this before, but this time he had Snoop off stage. He usually just has him sitting at the desk. And as Snoop walked into the studio, Larry was doing it's almost like a boxing thing.
Welcome to another edition of Larry King Live, a night we've looked forward to for a long time. One of my favorite people, a lot of people's favorite people. He's Snoop Dogg. Just look at that walk. Look at that casual air. That air of superior. Drop it like it's hot. The Snoop Man, 6'4". 170 pounds. I know all this. I feel like a boxing match. How you doing, Snoop?
How you doing?
Never heard him talk about a guest like that before in my life.
I haven't either. And he sounds... I've never heard this tape before. He sounds 40 years younger than he usually does. Doesn't he just sound so energized?
I'm telling you, I don't think he's faking that enthusiasm. I think he loves Snoop. I don't know where that love came from.
Maybe a grandson or something.
He was way excited.
When his limo is taking him away from CNN every night, do you think he's bumping to some Snoop albums or something in the car? Is he rolling deep with the dog?
I would have bet any amount of money against that until I saw this. Snoop Dogg for a full hour on Larry King.
Wow.
Larry turns into Bean when he asks this question.
How does one choose to become a rapper? Why are you a rapper?
Why is the dollar so low?
How does one choose to be a rapper? Now, I'm not smart, but it seems like you could just go, I want to be a rapper.
Right.
I mean, the answer to that is like you choose anything else in the world.
I listen to that music.
I like it.
And I have something to say. Yeah.
Larry's not sure what rap is.
Yeah.
So he has a very important question that he has to clarify before he moves on with the interview about rap.
It is music, right?
Music first, baby.
It is music, right?
Okay.
He's not sure about that. He's got to clarify.
It's only been around for 30 years, Larry. Maybe you've heard of it.
This has to be read off of his notes because he's talking to Snoop about what he's known for.
You've always been known for keeping it real, right? That's one of your things. And there's nothing realer, if that's the correct word, than reality TV.
That's right. That's one thing we know.
Yeah, reality TV is real.
No faking going on there.
That's right. Just like real life.
So he starts talking about politics with Snoop. Snoop doesn't want to talk about politics. And Larry needs a little more qualification about some of the language that Snoop's using.
I'm not down with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I represent the Gangster Party.
The Gangster Party?
Yes, sir.
Was it G-A-N-G-S-T-E-R or G-A-N-G-S-T-A?
Say it, Larry. Say it like Gangsta. You mean it. Say it like you mean it, Larry.
Snoop loved him because he's got a 3,000-year-old man in front of him trying to say gangster.
That's right. That's right.
About three quarters of the way through, Larry wants Snoop to know that he approves.
You got an interesting life, Snoop.
You think so?
Yeah.
So then Larry wants to talk about pot. And I'm not sure I understand the phrasing of this question, but wait till you hear the follow-up question. Snoop, by the way, who's got a medical marijuana prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Biggest scam ever? Seriously.
Yeah, what's his problem?
Don't know. Larry didn't ask, but Larry asked a more important question about that.
What do you make of your association or your parent association with marijuana?
Larry, on grounds of my attorney, I'm going to plead the fifth.
Really? You don't want to talk about it?
Actually, I'm on medical marijuana as we speak, so, you know.
Yeah, and you get them, they send them to you.
In a little capsule.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Okay, so in a little capsule, he said.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Send them in a little capsule. Listen to the follow-up.
They roll them for you. I've seen them.
What'd you say, Larry? They roll them for you.
They get them for Army Engineering.
So quick, so fast. Oh, boy.
They roll them for
what
you.
What is Snoop doing on medical marijuana, by the way?
Having weed legally? What are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying, how did he get a prescription, though? What illness did he claim, I wonder?
He's Snoop. He just walks in, tells the doctor he wants, and the doctor goes, all right, let's make one up.
No, I don't have any problem with him having it. I'm just curious what he made up. That's all.
Now, Larry, by the way, it won't surprise you, Larry didn't ask that question.
Yeah.
He just has. It never occurred to him.
Doesn't do hard hitting.
He wanted to get to the rolling part of it.
Right.
So then it gets to be the end of the show, and Larry King, and I'm sure this was suggested to him by writers, Larry King decides that he wants to do a rap with Snoop.
No.
Larry King and Snoop doing
yes, please.
A rap.
Yes, please.
Let's do a Sinatra. You like Sinatra. I like Sinatra.
I do. I love it.
Can we do Sinatra rap?
Why not?
How do you do it? What song can we do in rap?
Start spreading the news.
I'm leaving today. All right, now that's not rap.
But you can make it rap,
okay,
right?
Okay, so Snoop's not thrilled. Oh, hey, wait a minute. We're singing. That's not rap. So Larry's idea of rap is to start pounding the table to keep a beat while he sings.
Okay.
He doesn't start rapping. He just keeps singing.
Start spreading the news. I'm a leaving today.
Yeah.
Come on. I want to be a part of it. Come on.
New York.
New York.
Come on.
I want to wake up. in a city that never sleeps.
Come on, waiting on you. Larry, I'm following your lead. I'm your background. It's
but
the
you ain't
Larry
doing
Green
nothing.
Show.
You're hanging me out to dry. Give it to the Jew every time. It's a-
nice. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Snoop did not want to have anything to do with that because it's not rapping and it's Larry. And Snoop's just going to sit back and watch that train wreck happen.
That is on television, seen around the world, ladies and gentlemen.
I think the highest rated program on CNN.
Beautiful. Wow.
Larry King with Snoop.
Parents showed up at the audition last night. They were in Ryan's hometown of Atlanta, Georgia last night.
Did they
final
put him
through
to Hollywood?
Auditions? No, they weren't auditioning. Oh. But I was just, I don't know. I never thought about a guy like Ryan Seacrest having parents. I just thought it was, you know, Spawn of Satan and all that.
Sure.
But just regular people walking in off the street, a mom and dad. So somebody out there likes him, I guess.
Well, did they say they liked him?
Yeah, they hugged him. We shouldn't assume.
Right.
They hugged him, but that could have just been for the benefit of the cameras. Anyway, last night was the seventh and I believe final night of city auditions. They are going to do kind of a wrap-up best of the rest show tonight on Fox. But last night was the last of the real auditions where they look for people to put through to Hollywood to be the next American Idol. And they put 20 through last night. Unfortunately, this guy was not one of them. Here's Chris, and he's, for as far as I'm concerned, this guy is my American Idol, and I think you'll see why.
Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
That's the kind of entertainment I'm looking for right there.
Well, when you're looking for energy.
I'm surprised he's not doing the Virgin America commercials, to tell you the truth, what I heard. Now, here's a dude you're going to love. His name's Jared. Listen closely. He's a guy.
Sail upon the dark star and then pursue the morning. And then pursue and then pursue the morning. I'll climb the frosty mountains. I'll climb the frosty mountains in the Iroquoian weather.
Unfortunately, he also did not get the golden ticket to go through to Hollywood.
Was he six?
No, he was a regular adult guy, but yeah, brought in some yodeling. Let's meet JP here this morning from last night's American Idol. He's a dorky guy, kind of looks like Michael Cera from the Juno movie, from the Superbad movie, except with a very, very unfortunate haircut. Just a geeky, skinny little guy, and he has been haunted over the last 3 years because the first time he auditioned for American Idol, he was two people away from Carrie Underwood. He was that close to greatness, and now he regrets, of course, that he didn't stay in touch with her because she's gone on to become a big star.
She would have loved to stay in touch with him.
She won the competition that year, yeah. So he, ever since then, has said, man, I should have done more then, and I got to come back, and I got to try it again because it could be me. And here he is describing himself.
People tell me all the time that I'm going to be famous and that I have that star quality, so hopefully the judges see that today. People will be able to say, I was two people away from JP, and now I see him doing it big.
And so one of the problems, by the way, with kids in America today is they have supportive people around them that tell them that they're worth a damn.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to be famous. Absolutely.
You should really be running your kids down. You should be shattering their dreams early so that they don't get these delusions in their head that they're going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
So let's see if JP was able to come through as he gets in front of the judges.
California to Oregon. It's a brother and a sister kind of thing. Raise up your hands if you all want to hang.
Unfortunately, even though JP said he didn't want to go to college, he didn't want to learn a skill, he wanted to be American Idol, they did not put him
But through. He was two spots away from what's her name.
I know. He was so close. He was sitting in a room near Carrie Underwood. Isn't that enough?
What's up with that?
Yeah, exactly. Now let's meet Eva. Let's meet Eva. She's another one of the contestants that showed up last night that realized that she had all the ingredients necessary to be the next American Idol. She is a total package, and she's happy to share that with us.
Tell me why you're the next American Idol.
I have the look. I have the voice. I have the presence. I have everything.
Good girl. Wow.
I like the confidence. What are you going to sing for us today?
Vanessa Carlton, A Thousand Miles.
All right, now, as you listen to her sing, you'll hear that she's doing some dancing, and you'll also hear that she falls down flat on her ass while she's singing. You don't see that very often.
Okay.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd.
Whoa.
All right, so she's down on her back now, and Simon thinks the whole thing's a gag. Like, he thinks it's a fake. It's one of those funny auditions for people just trying to be on TV. Right. Like, she was doing the silly dancing, and she was planning on falling out. And he's just convinced that it's an act, and she's really upset by this because she loves Simon. She's got a big crush on Simon. She doesn't understand how he can't see how serious she is about making it.
Look me in the eye without smiling and tell me that was a serious audition.
That was a serious audition.
You're not smiling.
Because I'm serious. I didn't mean to fall. I didn't mean to fall, Simon.
I bet you could get right back up.
But Eva, there. The singing. Come on.
People told me I had a good voice.
Who?
Again, people. You run into the problem. People do not lie and tell your kids or your friends or your choir members that they have a good voice. This is what happens is they get in their heads that they could be the American Idol and they just can't. So she, although she showed up loving Simon, she left very, very upset.
Here's the other thing that fascinates me about Simon and what people think about it. There, you, if you watch the show at all, which I don't, but you know that he's going to be the toughest critic. You know that.
Of course.
So the people that come in convinced that he's going to love them. Is an extra level of delusion.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You ought to go in there expecting he's going to hate you because he shows up automatically not expecting very much from any of the contestants. That's right. All right, one more woman from the auditions last night in Atlanta. And this season has been particularly good. They've done a really nice job in the episodes so far of introducing you to some of the people who have fascinating stories to tell, people you can really get behind. This is a really pretty young woman named Asia who's a small-town girl. And she talks a little bit about how she got to the audition in Atlanta and what led up to her decision to audition.
I don't come from a family that has a lot of money. We work for everything we have. So I definitely had to work my butt off to get here.
No.
2 days ago, I was calling my dad to tell him that I was on my way up here to do my audition and that I wish he was here and that I love him. And about 30 minutes later, my brother called me and told me about the car accident.
Uh-oh.
And that my dad had passed away.
Oh, okay. Oh, now, no. Come on.
Oh. See, here's the problem, though. People want to be on TV so badly. And we've taken calls like that many times, and we just don't buy it.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, what? Wow, how convenient is that? You're going to try out for American Idol, and your dad, who you love, died in a car accident. I would doubt that. I hope it didn't happen. I don't want it to happen, but I just would doubt she's telling the truth.
Are you telling us that when she continued to do the audition after she got the news?
Yeah, she did. And this happened 2 days ago. She was on her way up. I guess she had a great distance to drive from wherever she lived to get to Atlanta. And this is what's weird. You're right. If you start holding a microscope up to it, Kevin, it does seem odd. You find out your father dies. It seems to me that the American Idol auditions in Atlanta 2 days from now all of a sudden aren't that important. But she decided because of the relationship she had with her dad that she was going to go out there and she was going to make him proud because, of course, you know, he's watching down from heaven. And she gets in the room and she tells the story and she's auditioning for the judges. What kind of spot are they in, by the way? How do you say to this girl, if she's got any talent at all, how do you say to this girl, I know dad's dead, you got to rush back for the funeral, and you're also not going to Hollywood? So she sang and she chose a song, very appropriate, I guess, How Do I Live? And here's how that went.
I'm sorry. How do...
That's okay.
Okay.
I've heard enough. I like you.
What?
Thank you.
And that was tough. You sound that very well.
Thank you.
Well done.
They let her through.
What?
They said... I know. They said... you're so brave to come out here and audition and, you know, after
callous,
all you've been
you're
through.
You're so callous.
What?
That you didn't go home. My God.
We're going to let you through. So they actually did send her to Hollywood.
What a shock.
That's unbelievable. But really, would someone go on TV and say that if it weren't true?
Well, maybe not.
I think it was true.
Maybe not. I didn't see it. Bean saw it. You know, you can kind of tell.
I guess, but it's unbelievable to me that you didn't turn around and go home.
It is.
I would think so too.
And B, don't you have to at least sing to get through? I mean, really, she got through on her story.
I think they thought that if she were not so emotional, her voice would have been okay. She probably would have been all right. But clearly, here's the lesson to the kids today is kill a parent, man, and head on out to the next audition because that's the golden ticket. That's the way to get put through to Hollywood,
apparently. Note to self, make up story. Okay, good. Excellent. That's crazy bad. But she got put through. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Are we done now? Do I have to... Is this it now? Because now they're going to start getting serious and I'm out?
Well, best of the rest tonight, and they'll just show clips from other people that we haven't seen far. And then, the next step is Hollywood, and that's when they start to really try to weed out the bad and keep the good. So I know at that point, that's when you lose it.
I'm so out at that point, and I know I'm in the minority.
Yeah, you are. My dream.
106.7 K-Rock.
Yes.
It's K-R-O-Q.
Yes.
And it's the Kevin and Bean Show. What?
Yes.
Marcy Playground?
Marcy Playground.
Come on.
How excited could you be? It's the Kevin and Bean Show, as you mentioned. This is the story that we never thought we'd see in our lives. As Kevin pointed out earlier, it's an urban legend that seems like it's been going on for decades, but this time it's real. Ladies and gentlemen, an illegal kidney transplant racket. You are drugged and wake up and your kidney is missing and you're in a bathtub full of ice.
Now, the story forever has been Las Vegas. That's the urban legend. In Las Vegas, some tourist just woke up in the bathtub and blah, 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 blah. But this is in India, and it's happening for real.
They're talking about Mumbai, India. They're talking about 500 to 600 kidneys have been stolen, Lisa. They pull you on the street and say, hey, we got a job offer for you. Come on into the suite, and we'll take your blood as part of the testing process. And then if you're a match, I guess, they pull out a gun, and then they inject you with something and knock you out and steal your kidney.
Oh, my God.
The mastermind behind this, you're not going to believe this, is on the line with us right now. Dr. Amit Kumar is joining us from Mumbai, India. You're right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're very good. How are you, sir?
I'm so glad to hear it. Pleasure to talk to you, my American friend.
You as well. We're frankly surprised that you're doing interviews since you've been arrested and you've been charged with a very serious crime of running a kidney transplant racket.
Oh, that's a big misunderstanding.
Really?
Oh, yes. All these people voluntarily gave up their kidneys.
Well, then why do they have people coming forward and saying that you put a gun to their head?
Hold on a second. Oh, I got a bleeder here.
Hold on.
What?
Somebody put their finger here, please.
Are you doing surgery now?
Yes. How are you doing?
Well, you shouldn't be doing an interview on the phone if you've got a patient there on the table.
Oh, I just nicked something. That's not good.
What did you nick?
I think. What's the big thing that pumps the blood?
What is wrong?
That's the heart.
That might be it, yes. Hold on. Someone just put their finger here. Hold the finger there. Thank you very much. I'll get back to you in a second. Hello. Yes, I'm sorry. Don't mean to interrupt.
You don't need... We can call you back later.
Don't worry. He's just an Indian.
Okay. Listen to this. Here's an interview. Here's a guy named Mohammed Saeem who was talking to the Indian television channel. He says, I was approached by a stranger for a job. When I accepted, I was taken to a room with gunmen. They tested my blood, gave me an injection, and I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I had a pain in my lower abdomen. I was told that my kidney had been removed. That doesn't sound like a voluntary kidney donor right there.
He was told that his kidney was removed, but was it actually?
Well, I suspect it probably was.
Well, you should find out for sure before you start accusing people.
Well, the police are saying that 500 to 600 people have come forward and said that they were forcibly separated from their kidney.
All right, look, we've got lots of Indians here.
Right.
We got too many goddamn Indians.
Right.
500 or 600 kidneys, that's not so bad.
Well, it's not legal.
Oh, legal. Legal schmeagle. I'm saving lives here, goddammit.
How are you saving lives? Because you're selling these kidneys to people who need a kidney? Is that how?
Yes. I'm saving my life. I have lots of money now. I can eat and afford a nice house.
Ah.
I saved my life by doing this.
I see.
Yes.
Here's my favorite part of the article. Suspicious neighbors said they noticed blood running out of the house's gutters, as well as blood-soaked bandages and even bits of flesh thrown into an open plot near the house.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's not very sneaky.
You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
Right. But most murderers will cover up the eggs.
Hey, what the murder? These people are walking out of their own accord, just a little shy on one side, just a little light. Nobody's dying, my friend. Let's not get crazy here, for God's sake.
All right.
Listen, if you need a kidney, you come to me, you say, Amit, I need a kidney. And I say, oh, I think I can help you if you don't mind smelling like curry.
That's the trade-off?
That's the trade-off. Then next thing you know, you have a kidney. And then everybody goes home happy.
Except for the people.
The people that are drugged and have their kidneys stolen against their will, I don't know how happy they are.
You need one kidney.
Right.
So do what is different, does it make? Who is the victim?
But why is it your decision how many kidneys they're going to live with?
Listen to me, okay?
Okay.
You have a very nice voice, by the way. I must say that. You have very healthy lungs. Are you a smoker?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a job?
What kind of job?
Oh, a high-paying job in the fast-growing field of technical assistance.
I'm sorry, technical what, doctor? We lost you.
Technical assistance.
Oh, that sounds like a good job. What would I have to do?
Just come in for a blood test, and we'll see how you fare up.
Okay.
But then, listen, you give a kidney to a rich American person.
Okay.
And they give me money. I give money to the patient. Everybody is a win-win.
Oh, I didn't hear that you were paying the patient.
Yes, those people who sell their kidneys to me, they get about $1,800.
$1,800.
Oh, yes. That's not such a bad deal at all, then.
That's
I'm
like a down payment on a Hyundai or something. You don't have to ride on the outside of the train anymore. That would be a good thing for most people who live here.
So you're saying there's no negative in any of this?
It's all cotton candy and swizzle stick.
Okay.
All right.
Don't
well,
even
I hope
know what that means.
I don't either.
I hope that's going to be your defense in court, Doctor. Good luck with that.
Oh, don't eat cows.
Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Whatever with your Grammy tickets.
That's I've a got, big deal, though.
I've got jumper tickets.
Jumper. Ooh.
Jumper, eh? Tickets for a advanced K-Rock screening of the motion picture Jumper, which looks just awesome, by the way. Tuesday, February 12th is the date. There are a few among us who are born with the power to go anywhere. They're called Jumpers. It's from the director of The Bourne Identity and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Hayden Christensen stars Samuel L. Jackson. Rachel Bilson.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Dude's got a power that he can just jump anywhere.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Go anywhere he wants. Just bear down. Got to change your pants when you get there, but still, you can jump anywhere you want to go. If you'd like to see Jumper before anybody else, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 10 gets a pair of passes to see Jumper. Well, it gets better and better every day. The news gets better about the Writers Guild strike.
Good.
Daily Variety newspaper says that the WGA leaders have scheduled membership meetings in New York City and in Los Angeles to present the latest proposal from the producers to its rank and file. If they vote to accept it, it could be the end to the strike.
That would be great.
Here's the thing. Even if the strike is settled in the next couple of weeks, the fall season will be greatly delayed or totally canceled. So it may be too late to save television this year, but obviously the sooner it ends, the better. So just have to wait and see.
Oscars, though, at least the stars would be able to show up for that, right?
That's right. Yeah, that would be an important part. This way nobody would have to cross a picket line on the 24th of February for the big Oscars. However, the writer's strike is taking its toll on the festivities for the Oscars. Vanity Fair has announced, the magazine, that they have canceled their big party.
Oh, really?
This is the biggest celebrity affair each year on Academy Awards night. This is the biggest party there is, but they decided not to do it because they just can't be sure whether people are going to show or not. So it costs a lot of money to put one of these bashes on, so they're going to err on the side of caution and decide this year they're going to pass.
Well, that makes Marianne Cotillard available to come to your house to watch the show.
Marianne Cotillard.
Is she something else or what? I saw her at the they did some video on one of the shows last night about the Oscar class photo that they take every year, that big luncheon where all the nominees come, and she got up and gave a little speech, and she's one of those women who just gets hotter every time you see her.
She is nuts. She's nutty hot.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the television ratings, shall we? As you can imagine, Super Bowl 42 was the number one TV show watched last week. You know how many millions of viewers it had?
Mm-mm. I know in America they were guessing 97.
97.5 million viewers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Second most watched television program ever, Lisa May.
Unbelievable. That.
Second only to the finale of MASH.
Yeah.
But they also show it in many other countries, so that number's probably way higher.
You're more concerned about other countries than America.
No, I'm just
so
saying
you don't like America is what you're saying.
Wow.
You don't care about America.
Omar, we need a song.
What are you talking about?
America, I guess, is just inconsequential to you. You're more concerned, what are they watching over there in France?
No, I'm
all
saying
right,
a lot of people watch the Super Bowl.
Go kiss the Eiffel Tower and eat a baguette.
Communist.
How did we get here?
Go eat a snail.
Well, you turned into a self-hater. That's how we got here all of
America.
A sudden.
Oh,
you crap on the
America.
Flag.
The only guy I know wasn't watching the returns come in last night from Super Tuesday was you.
Yep, that's true.
I hate politics.
Democracy hater.
I hate politics, but I don't
go live
America.
In Russia. You don't have to worry about watching elections over there. They just tell you who your new leader is, and then they give you a roll of crappy toilet paper.
It's a good idea. For next year, Kevin, why don't you watch the Super Bowl with all of your communist friends over there in Russia and leave the hard work to us Americans.
Enjoy, Red Menace. The Super Bowl post-game show was the second highest-rated show. That barely counts, though, doesn't it?
Isn't that
the
kind
post-game
of
show isn't all the same deal. Number three was House, as I mentioned. 29 million viewers for the Frozen episode of House, which if you missed it, you can catch it Friday. They're going to rerun that for you. Last night was the last new episode of House for a while.
Was it?
I was quite bummed, but it was great.
And there's no more in the can. That's what you're saying. They're finished filming.
Done. They've
right?
aired all the houses they have.
Dude.
But it's so great that Wilson's dating cutthroat bitch.
Love that.
Awesome. Oh. Ralph, I have one more question related to this writer strike.
Okay.
Writers are technically not allowed to write when they're on strike. But don't you think that that's what they do when they get ideas and they go home when they're not on the picket line and they're probably hammering out some scripts? Don't you think there are scripts out there for shows ready to be produced?
They're not allowed to write for producers. They can't write for pay. They can't work on any projects that is has been purchased or will be purchased by a producer. But no one's stopping them from sitting at home and writing all they want.
Because I'm just thinking in terms of startup, in terms of trying to get some episodes back in production, I'd be willing to bet for a lot of shows, there are scripts out there that, that just haven't been turned in yet because of the strike.
Well, let me tell you something, my simple little friend. The first draft of a script is not what you see ending up on your TV or movie screen.
Right, sure.
So it takes sometimes weeks of rewrites and writes with story editors and producers to hone a script to the point where it's ready to actually be photographed.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're starting from scratch, even if they were to have some scripts, let's say first drafts had been ready for writers like House, who have been sitting home and writing stuff, when they get in there, it's going to take weeks and months to gear up to get that script polished and ready for production. But then you also have to get all the cast in place. You have to get all the sets built. You have to get all the Teamsters on board. You have to get everything squared away with permits and shooting and locations and that kind of stuff.
So we're horked.
So when you go from zero to get to 60, it takes quite a bit of time.
But for a lot of the writers who really, really need a paycheck by now, I mean, maybe they are trying to get something that they can start getting paid for.
I'm sure they'll get
immediately.
Paid. They'll sell the scripts right away. But I'm saying to produce a script takes a long time to get it up and going. You can't just get somebody hand you a script and say, "Great, tomorrow we'll shoot this."
Yeah.
And then it'll be on the air Wednesday. Everyone, please enjoy new television. I wish it were that simple.
Good point.
American Idol's 4th and 5th of the top 10 in the TV ratings. Then House, Tuesday's new House, again, number 6. Moment of Truth, number 7. Then Lost and Lost at 8 and 9. The first hour, the recap hour, and then the new episode of Lost at the 8th place and 9th place. And then NCIS, number 10.
What?
Come on.
Wow.
That Mark Harmon's got to be the luckiest sumbitch in the world.
Yep.
Somebody's watching that NCIS. God bless
that's a show that can't possibly still be on.
It is. You know why? Because it's about the U.S. military, Kevin. That's why you hate it.
Yeah, because you hate the United States of America. So we
found
out.
The military channel all the time.
Oh, do you? Yeah. To watch us lose, probably.
Yeah, that's right.
You're hoping to watch our battles where we lost.
Watch the shows on the Luftwaffe. That's all you care about.
I love that Normandy invasion, watching those guys get cut down by the Nazis.
What is wrong with you two?
What's wrong with you, America hater? Paris Hilton's well known for her partying.
Yeah.
Just when you think you know everything you could know about Paris Hilton. I mean, for God's sakes, we've seen her performing oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
What more could she hide from us, Lisa May?
Right.
I can't imagine.
Turns out she's an excellent ice hockey player.
What?
Oh, please.
No. Paris Hilton is an excellent ice hockey player.
No.
I know how I am, so that's fine.
Paris says she's been playing since the 10th grade.
Yeah.
Nope.
Ice hockey.
Enjoys hockey.
Sure.
Enjoys checking people, she says.
Right.
There you go.
Yep.
I think that settles the toughest debate. What's tougher, hockey or football? Paris Hilton plays ice hockey.
If you buy that she plays ice hockey.
It says it right here. It couldn't be printed if it wasn't true.
That's true.
She also says she enjoys fishing.
Oh, come on.
But she's a catch-and-release gal. She refuses to kill or eat the fish she catches, Lisa May.
I don't believe her.
Oh, I can see her just landing a big marlin on the deck. You just see her now, can't you? Don't answer that.
Yeah.
And we had on the folks who brought us Not the Brady's XXX. Remember that pornographic version of the Brady's?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Such a huge hit it is in the X-rated world that X-Play, the name of the production company who brought us Not the Brady's XXX, have announced they are currently in the works of Not Bewitched XXX. Oh, that's going to work for me.
Samantha was hot.
Oh.
She sure was.
Oh, yeah. When Dick York used to come home
yeah.
at the end of the day. And then Dick Sargent after that.
Yep.
Both dicks.
Mm-hmm.
She
both
loved dicks.
With Bewitched. She could only spend time with a dick. That's all she cared about. She just wanted
who
to be
close to
Dick.
Who was her favorite dick? Do you know, Ralph?
I think she liked both dicks equally.
Okay.
If she had her choice, she'd probably work with both dicks, I think.
I guess everybody does love dick.
Absolutely, especially Samantha Stevens. Oh, man. Twinkle that nose. they've announced they also have Not the Beverly Hills XXX in the works.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow, that Granny. She's hot.
Oh, Granny, yeah. I want to do Granny by the cement pond.
Oh.
Yeah. Then have Jethro join in.
And also the Partridge Family, not the Partridge Family, XXX, also.
Yeah, oh, that could come
to a video screen near you.
And NYPD Blue with an EW.
Oh, I see what you did.
See what you did. How
about that?
With an EW.
See?
EW, Entertainment Weekly.
That's what I still don't get it.
Blue.
B-L-E-W.
NYPD Blue.
Blue with an EW.
I got to tell you, though, if it takes that much explanation, it's a bad joke. My bad. I take it back.
NYPD Blow. You could have just said that.
But
there you would have had a joke
been much
that,
leader.
That everyone could have enjoyed. See?
But they find you funny when you go back home to China, do they, Kevin?
Yeah. Oh, I bet you're a big hit when you're wearing that those drab olive wardrobes with your giant black leather jack boots and your little red book in your hand.
That's me.
Sticking pins in George Washington's voodoo doll. Nazi bastard. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rip Torn.
Awesome.
One of the greatest actors ever.
Sure.
You ever seen his DUI conviction tape?
Yeah, he's a good drinker,
He's spectacular in that.
Great mugshot.
He is 77 years old today. Mike Farrell turned 69. He was on MASH, of course. Axl Rose is 46 years old today from Guns N' Roses. Rick Astley. We don't have time for it here, but we'll play you a clip of classic Kevin and Bean.
No.
Yes, we will. Of Kevin and Bean checking in with singer Rick Astley to see what he's up to. He's 42 years old today. And Tom Brokaw, former NBC anchorman. As I was watching the results come in from Super Tuesday last night, I thought, I miss Tom Brokaw.
Yeah,
I would have
been
enjoying seeing him sing,
Alec, how are ya? Tom McKay.
I would have missed him reading off the results. He is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's say good morning to our supermodel receptionist, Janelle. Good morning, Janelle.
Morning.
How are you?
Hi, Janelle.
Good. How are you?
Janelle, by the way, short timer.
Yeah.
I know. I hear you're leaving, Janelle. I'm devastated.
I know. It's my last week.
It's our last week, yeah.
I put the video of you putting the hot dog through the donut that we shot out at the front desk. I have that on my iPod, and I watch it every night before I go to bed, if you get my meaning.
Ooh. Oh, that's so sweet of you.
That's how I was hoping you'd take it. Now, Janelle, the reason we're coming to you is because we found out this week that you are Catholic. Is that so?
That is true.
Okay, I didn't know that about you. Because I never really cared. But now that Lent is here, which is something that Catholics do that I know nothing about, I find out that you're our go-to person on how Lent works.
Oh, a little bit. I mean...
This is 40 days before Easter, right? And you're supposed to give up certain things.
Yep.
Okay.
And what is that to represent? Does it have something to do with Jesus in the desert?
Well, I mean, yes, it does.
He was in the desert, he got tempted, and he said no. So now Catholics, I think 40 days before Easter, they say, I'm going to fast and give up stuff that I like.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Now, how important is that in the Catholic faith? I mean, is that one of those things that most Catholics do, or you just have to be pretty hardcore to participate in Lent, or how widespread is it, Janelle?
Well, I think it's pretty important. I mean, I'm not the biggest practicing Catholic, but... I like to partake in Lent.
Okay.
Okay, do you do it every year?
I try to, yes.
She's shaky at best, by
She
the way.
Is a little bit shaky. Are there any restrictions on the types of things you're allowed to give up? I mean, could you say, well, I'm going to give up putting my hand in the garbage disposal, and you just go, okay, that's it, I gave up something, even though it's not something you would ordinarily do, or are there rules about what you're allowed to choose?
That's a little extreme. But, yeah, you can choose. I mean, just something that... You really enjoy and give it up for Christ.
So it's just the only thing that matters is you like it and that you're going to be sacrificing something you like.
Yes.
Okay.
What are some of the common things people give up? I mean, to kind of make that recommitment. I'm sorry.
I would say food.
Food.
Different kinds.
They don't eat for 40 days?
They, either drink or eat or consume.
Here's what's funny about the fasting, though, because I'm reading an article on it. According to the Catholic faith, you can eat one full meal per day and two other small meals per day.
But that's fasting?
And it's still considered fasting.
Wow.
Doesn't seem too terribly hard. Now, Janelle, what was the list that you were writing at the front desk the other day? Were you coming up with a list of stuff?
Oh, really?
To give away, to give up for Lent?
You heard about my list.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yes, I did make a little list of things that I really enjoy and consume because I really like it. So a few things are like carrots.
Carrots.
Give up carrots.
You're giving up carrots.
Cucumbers.
Oh, why? Come
wait,
on.
Just to eat or?
Hot dogs.
Just to eat or?
Bananas.
Oh,
just
no.
to eat or?
Wait a minute. We're not doing Lent. All that stuff is for us. Come on.
All right. Comedy answers aside, by the way, Janelle, that's very, very funny. But what seriously are you getting? I mean, has Lent already started? Are you supposed to have been giving up something already?
You're the worst Catholic we've ever talked to.
You really are.
I think yesterday is when it started.
Okay. What are you really giving up?
It starts today.
Okay. What are you giving up? For real.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm really going to give up anything.
Excellent.
What was on your list?
The original list was coffee.
That would be difficult.
I was thinking of giving up time to go to church on Sunday mornings.
Okay.
Okay.
In all seriousness.
I saw on her list, I swear to God, I don't know what it meant, but I saw on her list she had Mexicans.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
What do you mean you're giving up Mexicans?
Because I really like Mexican food.
Oh, Mexican food.
Oh, Mexican food. I thought maybe you were going to start doing your own yard work.
But it didn't say Mexican food. It just said Mexicans.
It just said Mexicans, he said, on your list.
Oh, he put the S on it.
She meant Mexican food.
Oh,
okay.
I see. All right.
How about sex, Janelle? Is that something that you would give up for Lent?
Seems like Jesus would like that. No?
No.
No.
Sex is life. Just half-hearted. So, she'll give up Mexican food, but not
yeah,
sex.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's some kind of commitment.
Yeah.
Hey, hardcore Catholic, you need to lighten up.
I know.
That's not a hardcore is what we're learning.
Exactly. All right. Well, Janelle, you've kind of given us an idea of the sorts of things that you've considered giving up, although apparently you're too lazy to actually do any of them. But we are going to open up the phones to our callers who are Catholic because it's apparently fairly widespread. A lot of people are giving something up right now, and I think it'll be interesting to hear the things that are significant to people that they've chosen to do without for 40 days as a celebration of their faith. So I think you've gotten us off on a good start here.
Great.
Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye.
Trader.
Bye.
Bye.
She can't wait to get out
of
here.
I know. She's dying to get out.
No kidding.
All right. If you've given up Mexicans, 1-800-520-1067.
Dude, what if Yasmin gives up Mexicans? Oh. Dave is going to be devastated. Talking about the strange Catholic custom of Lent for 40 days leading up to Easter. I guess you're supposed to give up something to represent the suffering or the temptation that Jesus went through walking through the desert. And that's the calls we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067, especially people who maybe not like Janelle, you know, giving up Mexican food, whatever. But if you're giving up something weird, if you're giving up something that no one can understand, we'd like to understand it. We'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, especially the funnier ones. That's what we're always fascinated with. Let's go to Carlos in Panorama City. Good morning, Carlos.
What's up, guys? Morning,
hey. Hi, Carlos.
Carlos, clearly, because of his name, can't give up Mexicans, so he's got to pick something else.
All right, so the deal is, I love Chinese food. Don't ask me why. Mm-hmm. I just love that smell of orange chicken. It's like it can cure a fever any given minute.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But mostly it's Panda Express, and the most I've eaten there is probably about 4 times throughout the week.
Wow.
4 times a week?
Yeah, that's the most I've eaten in once throughout the week, so it's like... maybe I can give up that. Mexican, there's no given way I can give that up.
Sure, of course.
Right, thing. Either that or video games, but
no,
yeah.
Let's not get crazy.
Let's not get crazy, yeah. So yeah. Panda Express is going to do without your business for 40 days, is what you're telling me.
I'll try to.
All right.
Wow, he's not even sure he can do it.
Well, what we've seen so far today is Catholics are dedicated, I'll tell you that.
But, Carlos, if you get in the mood for Chinese, aren't there 1,000 other Chinese restaurants that you go to and still technically you've given up Panda Express for Lent?
Yeah, but I don't want to go through that whole loophole thing. So it's like maybe I can try a little harder, yeah. You know. Just
sure, yeah. This is day one. Let's talk to Carlos in a week.
When he's Jones.
Exactly.
I'll give you a call in a week and see if I pull through.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Carlos. All right, let's go to Marissa in Upland because this seems like just too much.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere. Marissa?
Hi, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Hi, Marissa.
What are you giving up for Lent?
I am giving up French fries and smoking weed.
Both?
Smoking weed?
Both. Why two things? Why isn't one enough?
Well, I've given up French fries every year since I was like 7.
Right.
And this time giving up weed, this is my first time trying to do it. And I'm not sure if I could do it or not.
You smoke every day?
Yes.
Wow. Hmm. This
you,
is huge.
Now, you might want to just stick with French fries.
What's
funny is she doesn't crave French fries if she's not smoking weed, probably. I would imagine.
No, but I do. I crave them all the time.
All right.
What? How big a girl are you, by the way, Marissa?
I'm 5'2 and about 120 pounds.
So oh, not okay. A big girl.
All right.
Yeah.
Why do you think? Answer briefly, if you could. Why is giving up pot for 40 days? How does that make you a better Catholic?
I don't know.
Are you okay, hoping this will, Marissa? Are you hoping this will be the beginning of not smoking it ever?
No, just kind of cutting back a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Why don't you just cut back? Aren't you officially giving it up for Lent if you do, let's say you go to every other day? That's cutting back every other day of weed.
Cutting back. It's not about cutting back, Kevin.
Just trying to get
find
a loophole.
Let's go to Ray on line one in Seal Beach. This one is fascinating to me. Ray, good morning. Hello there.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, baby boo.
Hi, Ray.
What are you giving up for Lent?
I always give up watermelon.
Because there's so much in the stores.
Watermelon?
It's not even in season in February.
Well, it's easy to give it up. That's why.
Well, that's bogus.
Well, why don't you just give up walking on the moon while you're at it, Ray? I mean, come on.
You can guarantee you won't do that as well.
You are weak.
See, here's why Ray doesn't have any watermelon to give up. The last girl we talked to was giving up weed. She smoked it every day.
Yeah.
She's a better Catholic than Ray is.
That's
way
right.
Better,
I think. All right, what about Nancy in Lakewood? Nancy is on line five. It's the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock. Your chance to win Grammy tickets coming up in just a few minutes if you want to be at Staples Center this coming Sunday. Nancy, good morning. We're talking about Lent. What are you giving up?
I am giving up listening to Kevin and Bean in the morning.
Oh, well, that's just that good hurts. Advice any time of the year, though.
No, I was calling to tell you guys that I'm going to miss you for the next 40 days.
But didn't it start today?
Oh.
Didn't Lent start today?
Oh, well, then I can listen to you for the rest of the 40 days, and I already messed up.
Okay, good. Good work.
That's our people.
She's listening to our show today to call and tell us that she's giving up our show for Lent.
It's kind of like New Year's resolutions. Once you screw it up on January 3rd, then why go back to it for the rest of the year? It's already done, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Exactly. What the hell?
All right. You want to take one more? You want to do Michelle before we go?
Yeah, Michelle in L.A. Michelle, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Michelle.
What are you giving up for Lent?
I'm giving up getting super trashed when I drink.
Oh. So you're still going to drink?
Just not to the excess of...
Right.
I see.
Wow, yeah. This isn't going
to
go well.
We have we have the weakest Catholics in the world
yes,
listening
to
our program.
Well, I just don't want to be unreasonable. I mean, if I give up drinking, I'm pretty sure that's not going to...
Right. I mean, that's exactly... You can't, you know, give up something that you know won't work.
And when you're drinking... You'll certainly keep a clear head as to the fact that it's Lent and you shouldn't drink too much.
That's the plan.
That'll be easy.
So you'll have six drinks, what you're saying is, but because it's Lent, you won't have nine.
Right.
All right. Jesus would be very proud, Michelle.
Thank you for that.
Including right now, if you have a Grammy trivia question, you want to try to stump Rodney at 1-800-520-1067. Any question about the Grammys or the K-Rock artists that are playing the Grammys? You know, Foo Fighters are up for a bunch this year, including Album of the Year. Plain White Tees are nominated, Back, Green Day, Paramore. I mean, there's White Stripes. A few of our bands are represented. You don't usually get that much of our music on the Grammys. But the great Rodney Bingenheimer has joined us to help us give away the tickets right now. Good morning, Rodney.
All right. Rodney on the Rock, 106.7. Call now if you have requests for Rodney and the Rock Show.
No.
No, we're not. That's not. We're not doing requests.
Music
we're...
from the Joe Boxers coming up next.
No, we're doing it.
They've been together.
We're doing trivia. People ask
Just
you.
Just Got Lucky was their big hit back in 1982.
People ask you trivia about the bands
that
are in the Grammys.
Passed the pencil test. Everybody in Joe Boxers took the test, and they all held on to their pencil.
Rodney, you know a lot about music, of course. You've been on K-Rock since the late 1940s. You know a lot about the Grammys. It's a show you embrace. You're ready to take some calls from our listeners?
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going on vacation.
Hey Rodney.
You're playing the best of Rodney on the Rock Show.
Oh, let's just play this.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
Right.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you have a Grammy question to stump Rodney with, and of course you do have to know the answer. Not that Rodney's not going to come up with it, but just in case, you have to know what the correct answer is. Who's our first contestant here this morning?
Got Gus in Wayne Park. Good morning, Gus.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Say hi to Rodney.
Hey, how you doing, Rodney?
All right. Godhead.
What's your question, Gus?
My question is, which K-Rock band is nominated for Album of the Year?
K-Rock band, Album of the Year.
Band.
Okay. That seems about as easy a question as you're going to get. And Rodney, if you do not come up with it, if Gus is able to stump you, he goes in the drawing to maybe win tickets to be in the house to see the Grammys this Sunday.
Bow Wow Wow.
That's not even...
Bow Wow Wow. I want candy.
Gus, is it Bow Wow Wow?
No, it's not. It's True Fighters.
Foo Fighters is what we were looking for, Rodney. Who? Come on.
Hey, Lisa, who? Is there any way you can make more noise tearing paper?
I didn't know if you could hear it or not.
Every single piece. And I'm 80.
Right. You're directional mics. I didn't think it would pick it up.
Oh, it does.
Sorry. Cutting wood for the fireplace.
What are you doing? Some arts and crafts while we're on the air here? Come on.
Making pieces of paper to write people's names down.
Can you write Gus on one of those?
I will.
All right. Let's go to Seth in Pasadena. Good morning, Seth.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hello.
Welcome to Stump Rodney.
Thanks. Okay, I have a question. What record company is Paramore signed by?
What record company is Paramore signed by?
That's a tough question. Rodney, what do you think?
Kajagoogoo?
No, it's actually Fueled by Ramen.
Fueled by Ramen, yeah.
Fueled by Ramen, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Rodney was wrong?
What a
surprise.
Yes.
Kajagoogoo.
Okay. Yeah, that's not that's a band. That's not a record label. It's not a record label.
Kajagoogoo Records.
Robin in Hacienda Heights. Good morning.
Kajagoogoo Productions.
Hello.
Hi there. Say hi to Rodney.
Hi, Rodney.
Hi.
And now
How
stump
old are
him.
You?
I'm 20.
Oh, no, you're old.
Too old. Yeah. What's your question, Robin?
What's the most Grammys won by a male artist in one night?
I'm having a hard time understanding.
Most
her.
Grammys.
Most Grammys
won by a male artist in one night.
Most Grammys won by a male artist in one
and
night.
And who was it? And
someone showed up, had a huge night, won a ton of Grammys. That's the name we're looking for here, Rodney.
Haircut 100.
Is it Haircut 100, Robin?
Wrong.
No, not right. Who is it?
How many did Haircut win?
She doesn't know. That's not the answer.
Oh.
What's the answer, Robin?
Michael Jackson, and he won 8.
Yes.
8 in one night. Yeah, there you go.
I think they wish they could take those back.
All right. You are in the drawing, Robin. Congratulations. Let's move along. We've got Eric on the line from Costa Mesa trying to stump Rodney for Grammy tickets to be there at Staples Center this Sunday. Good morning, Eric. Say hi to Rodney.
What's up, Bean? Hey, Rodney.
What's your question, Eric?
What tattoo does David Grohl have unfinished?
Oh, yeah. We talked about that with him when he was in. Rodney?
Come on, Rodney.
Blow monkeys.
It just says blow?
Blow mon. It's blow mon.
Blow Eric, monk. The answer?
It's black flag.
Black flag.
Black flag. Oh. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Quit because it hurt too much. He's giving it to himself. All right. Let's go to Justin in Pasadena. Good morning, Justin.
Orange Juice Jones?
There was no question.
Oh. Just getting ready.
Justin Stump Rodney.
Who was the first rap artist to win a Grammy?
Benny Mardones.
He's not a rap artist. What song did he sing in the 80s? What was that?
Into the Night.
Yeah, that's not...
Rodney, why would you answer that? He clearly said he's looking for a hip-hop, a rap award here.
Lips Incorporated.
Nope. Not Funky Town either.
Justin, no. What's the answer?
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Oh, no. There you go. Well, there Jazzy you go. Jeff. You probably didn't know that, I guess, huh, Rodney?
This is odd. We're trying to give away Grammys. This is the first time
Steve
anyone...
Forbert.
This is the first time anyone has ever stumped Rodney. It doesn't seem to be working this time around. Sylvia in Maywood. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stump Rodney.
Which Grammy artist just got released from rehab?
Okay, now this is one you might know, Rodney. It's been in the news a lot.
Aldo Nova.
Wrong.
Sylvia, is that not it?
No, it's not. It's Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse.
Aldo Nova also just got
Oh, shut up, Rodney.
He did. Fantasy.
All right, we have time for one more?
Yes,
let's go to
one
Paul
more.
In Fountain Valley. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning.
What's up, Rodney?
All right, I want to know what Dave Grohl's middle name is.
Dave Grohl's middle name?
Scritty Politti.
That would be the coolest thing in the world if it was. What's the answer, Paul?
What did I win?
I think you were looking for Eric.
Eric, yeah.
What did I win?
You didn't get any of them right. None.
Why am I playing the game if I don't win?
I don't know. You're horrible. None of them right.
I'd like to get a parting gift.
All right, Lisa. Lisa, you want to do the drawing here? I think pretty much everyone stumped Rodney.
Timex Social Club.
And the winner is Justin in Pasadena.
Justin in Pasadena. All right.
All right. You win two tickets to go see the Vapors.
Justin, congratulations. You got tickets to the Grammys.
Sweet.
Nicely done. Rodney?
I'm so excited.
Good work, my friend.
What did I win?
Nothing. You didn't get any of them right. None.
I have a star in the whole
thing. Wham, bam.
Crazy astrologer Susan Miller is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning.
She's not
I know.
Crazy.
Oh, crazy as can
so
be.
Crazy.
Not
she
crazy.
Is
way crazy.
Taking advantage
She's
of people in their.
Astrologist. People in their insecurities and their weaknesses and just screwing them. Anyway,
yeah, she's not like you, Bean, without the advice.
Right, that's true. Without contributing anything good to the person's
that's
life.
That's right, just taking advantage of the insecurities.
Anyway, Susan joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning, and I guess this is big news, Ralph. This is something that a lot of people in Hollywood have been waiting to hear, the official word, right?
Yes. I've got tickets for Jumper.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
They've been waiting to hear it, and now the word is out. I've got them. The Advanced K-Rock screening of Jumper. If you'd like to see the movie before anybody else does, this of course stars Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson, Samuel L. Jackson. Ooh. It looks pretty terrific. It's about people who are able to teleport themselves anywhere they want. Anywhere is possible. It's in theaters on February the 14th. However, we've got tickets to the advanced screening on February the 12th. You see it before anybody else. I've got two pairs of tickets right now to give away. 1-800-520-1067?
Yes, yeah. That would be the number.
That's the new number.
Just changed it.
Let's say callers 5 and 6. Callers 5 and 6 right now each get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Jumper, or as they say in Sweden, Jumper. All right. Bean may have been alluding to the fact that the toxicology report from Heath Ledger's autopsy has just been released. And here is the official announcement from the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner of New York City.
Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills.
I've never heard a guy sing it before, but
pretty much that's what the report said.
Guess that's the way to
do it. Mr. Heath Ledger died as a result of acute intoxication by the combined effects of oxycodone, hydrocodone, diazepam, temazepam, aloprozamazam-bam-bam, and doxylamine.
Wow.
What was all this for? Does it say?
Fun.
Duff.
Wow, that's quite a mixture.
Well, let's see. The anti-anxiety medication, that's the olazepram, which is Xanax, basically.
Okay.
Alprazolam, rather. Diazepam is Valium for anxiety also. Lorazepam.
Just
was for sleeping.
Just everyone in the Pam family.
As was Zopiclone, which is Lunesta, basically.
Okay.
A sedative. Temazepam, which is Restoral. Used by people with debilitating insomnia. Hmm.
Boy, did he need to sleep.
Yeah.
So this is a...
Every one of these for sleep, it looks like.
Basically, a bad combo of all these prescription medications caused an accidental overdose, is what they're calling it now.
Wow.
From acute intoxication. So
it doesn't sound like his pneumonia really had anything to do with it.
It probably helped. Probably helped.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so looks like he didn't mean to. But look, that's a lot of pills.
A lot of anti-anxiety.
And a bad combination of things. They're all downers.
Yeah.
All Debbie
Even
downers,
if you're
man.
Really tired, it seems like any normal person would think, is this safe to take all these at one time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. You know, you can get a little nutty when you don't get sleep for a while. I mean, that really can start messing with you.
But one of the things that's coming out about Britney lately is that she was up for, 60, 70, 80 hours at a time, which may have contributed to how crazy she's been lately.
Yeah.
But it's not only the sleep. Like, how high strung was he to begin with when you need that many anti-anxieties? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, how strung out was the dude?
Yeah.
Oh!
Speaking of Britney, details are coming out about the... Damn it. What do they call it? When they keep you...
Intervention? Oh, the 5150?
No, the...
extended?
The court order when it keeps you 250 feet away.
I
know!
Restraining order!
Restraining order!
Yeah!
How could that...
elude us.
Eluded us all for about 30 seconds.
It did. Made for entertaining radio, I bet. People screaming restraining order in their cars all over Los Angeles.
Sorry.
Details are out about the restraining order as to why Britney's parents have asked Sam Lufty to stay 250 yards away from their daughter, Britney. According to the document that they filed with the court, he cut Britney's home phone line and removed her cell phone chargers so that she couldn't contact people and he could be in control of who she spoke with. This is according to Britney's parents.
That's true. It's really scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, they claim Sam often told Britney she was an unfit mother, a piece of trash, and a whore.
Well.
True.
That's tough love there.
That she cares more about Adnan Galib, her current boyfriend, than she cared about her kids and does not deserve her kids. They said she was he was emotionally and verbally abusive to Britney Spears. Yeah. He also told Britney, according to her parents, that Adnan is gay. Which may or may not be true. They also claim that he would crush up medication and put it in her food to get her to take pills. And the document claims he encouraged Britney to do tequila shots.
Does it seem like Britney would be the kind of person who would turn down pills so he would need to crush them up and put them in her food?
Well, this was...
Couldn't you just hand them to her and she'd put them in her mouth?
This was medication that apparently she needed, but he
couldn't get good stuff that she needed.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's some of the court order in terms of the restraining orders.
He lived with her, didn't he? For a long
time? Yes, yes.
So he had to move out now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, she's in UCLA Medical Center.
Oh, that's right. She's still there. I forgot about the house.
Yeah. Ralph, what's the tie-in between him and the robbery that allegedly happened on the day she went to the hospital? Is somebody suggesting that maybe he ripped her off in addition to all this other bad stuff you're talking about?
They claim there is stuff missing from the house, and they're saying his potential possibility that he might be behind it. So,
her underwear? Go.
Yeah.
That's like right.
She wears underwear, by the way.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Exactly. There's that one bear.
Yeah. You don't want to take that home with you, that one pair you had.
No.
And according to Us Weekly magazine, Gossip Girl's Blake Lively has a secret. She's been dating her co-star on the show, Penn Badgley, but has been keeping it under wraps. Not anymore. Apparently the two are quite the item. Just did that for Dave the King of Mexico.
Blake Lively and Penn Badgley?
Yes.
What soap opera
are
they
from? Gossip Girl. Can you get me onto the Museum of Television and Radio night of Gossip Girl so I can sit in the audience and listen?
That's what Dave was saying yesterday.
Yeah, he asked me to get tickets for the...
Please get me tickets.
I love Gossip Girl. I love to go and hear them about the show. Dave, what are you, a 13-year-old girl?
Yes.
Show's good. Yes, don't be stupid.
It's crunchy. It's quirky.
My eyes go bonkers. Celebrity birthdays. Oh, we don't have time for Rick Astley.
No. Wow, that's so unfortunate.
It's only 8:03. We got
time. Wow,
sure?
I wish we had time for that.
Yeah, all right. Real quickly, Rip Torn is 77. Mike Farrell from MASH is 69. Tom Brokaw, former NBC anchorman, is 68. Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses is 46. And singer Rick Astley turns 42 years old today. I don't know if you know who Rick Astley is or not, boys and girls, but he was a singer who had a big hit years ago called Never Gonna Give You Up.
One hit, that's it.
One hit wonder, Rick Astley.
No, had a few. That was his biggest, but Together Forever was a big top 10
together
hit.
Together Forever!
Others. Oh, that was him.
She Wants to Dance with Me was him.
Shut up!
I got Rick Astley all over my
iPhone.
Yeah,
Rick Astley up the Astley. That's what you got. anyway, Kevin and Bean used to do a bit some 20, 30 years ago called Wheel of Bad Ideas.
Wheel of Bad Ideas.
And they would pick out one particularly bad idea from the wheel and then do it. Which seems if you have a bunch of bad ideas, don't do any of them, I would think.
You spin it, and then whatever lands on you have to do.
Why do the bad one? Why get a wheel of good ideas and then do a good one?
We didn't have good ideas.
Oh, but we had a wheel.
So one of the things on the wheel was check in with Rick Astley.
What's up with Rick Astley?
And sadly for all involved, it actually fell on what's up with Rick Astley.
Yeah, we do a thing here on our radio show in Los Angeles called the Wheel of Bad Ideas. And then we spin it, and whatever it lands on, we have to do. And on the wheel was, what's up with Rick Astley?
Okay.
So we're calling you from America this morning, Rick, to find out what's up with you. What are you doing?
I'm enjoying myself, for one. Obviously, I haven't released a record for a long, 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 long time.
Uh-huh.
I've got a little studio, and I've been tinkering around with some things. And hopefully next year I'm going to do something.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Never gonna give you up. Huh? Never gonna let you down. That was Rick Astley.
I noticed.
This is probably the last Rick Astley mentioned on our show ever.
Yeah, I wish.
Little did you know,
not
Kevin.
So much.
Sure wish that was true.
That nearly a half a century later, we would be talking about Rick Astley once again. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love crazy. I'm a fan of crazy.
I
think crazy is what makes the world go round. It would be boring without crazy.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean Show, Crazy Susan Miller in our studios.
Yay!
Good morning, Susan.
Here's the strange thing about Susan. I think Bean and I together, and we're not together on very many things, think astrology is way bogus. But we've never had a guest in so often of something that neither of us believe in.
Because, because we love her so.
Because we love you, A, and you can take a joke, and B, our fans love you.
Aww.
And so we have you in despite the fact that you're crazy.
Plus, Susan,
well,
we learned a long time ago. We learned a long time ago that astrology is not going away. I mean, what's it been? 4,000 years or something like that? People have been believing in this BS?
And
Susan not here? Can she not hear us at all?
I don't think she can
hear him.
She can't hear. She needs to turn up her headphones.
Better?
Okay.
Hello, Susan. Can you hear us now?
Oh, yes. Now I can.
There we go.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought it was a private conversation.
No.
I was just saying, astrology clearly isn't going away, and there's nothing we can do to stop it, so we've just decided to jump on the bandwagon.
Just embrace it. Right.
Since you're so popular.
Susan's been an InStyle Cosmo girl, Vogue Japan, New York Daily News. She's been on 2020, Entertainment Tonight, MSNBC, The Early Show. She's been everywhere with this
stuff. Well, I write for InStyle every month, and Vogue Japan and W Korea and even London. And of course, my website, astrologyzone.com.
Sure.
Yes. Now, we're going to take calls like we always do at 1-800-520-1067 because we were talking about this earlier. People love an edge. They love some sort of advantage, some sort of tip, and you can help them out. Now, what information are you going to be needing from them when they call, Susan?
Well, I would like them to rapidly say their birthday with the month so that I can hear it, like April 15th or whatever it is, and the year. And if they know the time, that would be great.
The time of day
that they were born. And if they do know the time, then I need the place. If they don't need the time, then we can just roll. And one specific question, not what do you see for me in my life, because that would take a long time.
Now, while we're screening some calls in the other room, I have to ask, and I came in on the tail end of an off-air conversation you guys were having about the various candidates that are running for president. I was just wondering if you have had any time to look into the various people running for office and are able to determine using the stars who is most likely to win.
Well, see, the problem is that Hillary is a Scorpio, which is they're actually in a good vein this year, and Obama is a Leo, and John McCain was born right near the eclipse at the end of August.
So he's
and
the Antichrist?
No, he's good. Eclipse will usually change your life.
Okay.
And there's a big, big eclipse on August 1st in Leo. Isn't this funny that many of the candidates have eclipses near their birthdays? Huckabee, too, has an eclipse. And that's why he was surprising everyone, because it shows a life change.
I voted for an old friend of ours. You may not recognize the name, but Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly, I wrote in. You think it might be a write-in candidate?
That's so good. See, we don't know what time these people are born. And without a real chart, it's so hard, because they all have – what I can say is some have different talents. What was interesting about Obama is he's born with Jupiter in Aquarius.
He is not.
Yes. And look, he's doing ringtones. He's doing all the – Aquarius rules all newly invented forms of communication. And he's really using that talent really well of communicating.
But isn't that more a function of the fact that he's in his 40s and the other candidates are in their 60s and 70s? I mean,
well,
isn't that why he's more in touch?
No, but he'll always be hip with that Jupiter in Aquarius. Whereas Hillary has fantastic understanding of power and how to wheel and deal, because she has Jupiter in Scorpio. And people who do that know how to negotiate very, very well. So, everybody brings something else to the table, you know.
Certainly, yeah. Are there some signs that would make a better president than others?
Well, it's really interesting you should ask that. There are more Scorpio presidents and Aquarian presidents than any other sign. Interestingly, Aquarius, Scorpio, and Leo and Taurus are all fixed signs. And you know, Obama is a fixed sign, and so is Hillary.
What does that mean, fixed sign?
Fixed means they're determined, and they won't stop. Do you know what I mean? Fixed sign is supposed to – they're supposed to be a little bit stubborn, because they're supposed to remind us what the original goals were and not go off course. So in that respect, they're both kind of similar in that way. Hmm. And, astrology is not like, okay, I know who's going to win and we don't have to vote. It's not like that.
Those are psychics. That's very different.
What good is it? For God's sakes. We want to know.
Let me tell you about Susan Miller before we go to your phone calls. She is in town because of an event she's doing at the Learning Annex, which is on Wilshire Boulevard tonight at 6:45. You call this the Year Ahead 2008 class, Susan. What's it all about?
We're going to talk about all the big eclipses. There are four of them this year, two this month, two in August. We're going to talk about where Jupiter and Saturn
Saturn is, how to harness all the energy, when are your best times to do certain things. People are going to raise their hand and say, I need a job, I need a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever it is. I'm going to help you set the course.
That sounds crappy.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to make you sit in the front row.
The Learning Annex is at 11850 Wilshire Boulevard. You won't remember that, but you will remember learningannex.com or call 310-478-6677. And again, that is tonight, Year Ahead 2008 class with our guest Susan Miller. You want to take one call, Kevin, before the break and then come back and get a bunch more?
Sure. Let's begin with Simon in Hermosa Beach. Good morning.
Hi, Simon.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. What's your birthday?
My birthday is August 18th, 1980.
Okay. And do you know the time?
10 a.m.
Okay. And where were you born?
I was born in Augusta, Georgia.
Okay. And what is your question?
My question is, will my writing career bloom this year?
Ooh, I love your question. It's so, have you been affected by the writer's strike? Wow.
No, I haven't exactly been affected, but I'm pursuing a career in screenwriting. So
he's hoping to be affected one day.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Well,
he's hoping to one day get a writer's job so that he can go on strike and not get paid for 3 months.
Well, I have to tell you, Simon, you were born very, very close to Virgo, and you have Jupiter, the giver of gifts in Virgo, and Saturn. I know something about Simon. He is a perfectionist, quite a wordsmith. He polishes and works on it. And
he
actually,
does polish and work on it, but then
I polish and work on it.
I have to tell you, Simon, sometimes you're a little too self-critical, but you are so good. And even your grammar skills, everything are fantastic. I want you to keep on going because you really have the right chart. If you don't have Virgo or Gemini in a chart, you're not going to be a great writer. You do have it.
Oh,
you do
have it. Good news.
So you've got all the elements, and you've got the Sun and Leo. You understand entertainment. So if you're writing for shows and stuff, that's fantastic.
Okay.
I want you to go for it. You have Libra rising, by the way.
Oh. Now, Simon, when you win that first screenwriting Oscar, I want you to call the Kevin and Bean Show, and I want you to tell us that Susan Miller is the reason you stuck with it, okay?
I will definitely do that.
And work her into your acceptance speech. Thank you for the good luck to you, sir.
He's got a great chart. Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Susan Miller is here again, learningannex.com, for the event tonight on Wilshire Boulevard at the Learning Annex at 6:45. Susan's website is astrologyzone.com, and your calls for Miss Miller are next right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. Susan Miller is here at the Learning Annex tonight at Wilshire Boulevard, learningannex.com. It's called the Year Ahead 2008 class. What's that cost, by the way, Susan, for people who want to be
part
of that?
It's like $49 tonight. If you're not a member. It's a little less if you do belong to Learning Annex. So it's very affordable. We're going to have so much fun.
I doubt that. Astrologyzone.com, of course, is the website. Look, we're going to take as many calls as we can here, but like Susan asked, have when we go to you, go ahead and give us your date of birth, what time, if you know it, where you were born, and then we'll ask for your specific question, and we'll get to as many of you as we can at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Sherry in Los Angeles on line 4. Sherry is on the Kevin Bean Show with astrologer Susan Miller. Go ahead, Sher.
Hi, my birthday is November 29, 1969. I was born in Tehran approximately...
Terrorist! She's a terrorist! She was just born in Iran, that's all she's told us so far.
What time, sweetie?
Sorry.
Around 4 a.m., I think.
My bad.
Okay. And what's your question?
Career-wise, what path? What direction? I'm at a crossroads, and I need to leave my job.
Now, before you answer, Susan, does astrology work on Iranians?
Oh, sure it does. Okay. It loves everybody. And you know what I'm thinking, Sherry? Have you been in a publishing or broadcasting kind of situation, something communicative? Because you have talent for that, like working on a magazine or internet or radio or TV station. Have you been doing any of that?
Not at all, no.
What have you been doing?
Sitting in front of a computer punching in numbers.
Oh, no, we must stop that. I agree.
For 18 years.
Really? You said, wow.
Well, your brain is mush then. There's nothing left to offer the next employer.
Right, and I have a mother of two to make it worse.
So you don't have a passion for a direction?
There are different things that I'm interested in, but, you know, they would practically be volunteer work.
Well, no, but you know, Sherry, first of all Sagittarians are good with health and fitness. So if you want to be a fitness instructor or a nutritionist or something like that, you'd have to take classes, but you'd be good at it. You also have Jupiter in Libra. You'd be a great wedding planner or a party planner. I mean, that sounds like fun, too. It'd get you out of the computerville.
Did you go see 28 Dresses, Sherry?
No.
All right. Maybe you should.
See, she's got the moon in Leo. You're a great mother, and you're good with kids, too. So if you took classes, you'd make a fabulous teacher. You see, all these things require you get a little bit more education. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a possibility?
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to decide, yeah.
Yeah, because Sagittarius is the one sign that loves to go back to school over and over and over. I always tell parents of little Sagges, save up that little trust fund because they want to go for the advanced degrees. So, but, you know, you may even be able to get some help with this chart, you know, some scholarship help, which is, yay, we love that. And I see you moving next year into a very responsible position, so it may be that, you know, you get enough right away that you're able to qualify for the job quickly. Your best time to look for a job is in March and in September.
Okay.
Those months are fantastic for you. Look March around March 7th and then again on the 21st, right around there. Start sending out the word on the street that you're looking. I think you may luck into something very suddenly.
Hey.
Good luck.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Sherry.
Susan, I can't help but notice that 90% of the people on our phone lines are women. Why is that?
I don't know. I find, you know, in ancient days when astrology was born, it was mostly men because it was the head of states and, you know, the people who could afford
But then men got smarter and women didn't?
No. It's a human thing to want to know about the future. When I appear, though, there's so many guys, and even my website have a lot of guys. Well, I talk about things that are interesting to men, too, like finances and mortgages and job promotion and stuff like that. It's a human thing.
All right, let's go to Nicole, who's calling from Los Angeles. Good morning, Nicole.
Hi.
When's your birthday, Nicole?
June 8th, 1980.
And what time do we know?
8:46 p.m.
We love that. Okay, 8:46 p.m. My computer's acting up here. 8:46 p.m. Okay, and where?
Montebello, California.
Okay, and what is your question?
My boyfriend just broke up with me last weekend.
Oh, yeah. We don't like that.
Completely unexpectedly, and I'm just wondering if we are going to get back together.
Can I take a shot at that one?
Sure.
Susan, do you mind? And then you can give the actual answer from astrology. Yeah. No.
Wait. Before you say that, I need to tell you that, Bean, I'm the girl that sent you the Pluto Never Forget shirt.
Oh, you rule then.
Well, no wonder he broke up with you, though.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, see, you know what, Nicole?
He's letting a great girl go. He made a big mistake.
You know
that's what I have to say.
You have... You're just about a hair's breadth away from Capricorn rising, and I think you do have Capricorn rising. And I think you're in the luckiest year of your life, and that he'll be sorry because you have amazing attractive qualities this year of meeting the right one. And I think you should be out and about as much as possible. I think you're going to meet this person through your work.
Ew, okay? No.
Well, it could be like an outside supplier.
I can't get a law firm. I can't meet
him
there.
Oh, yeah. All those lawyers? Really?
No, well, nobody wants to be married to a lawyer. Come on, Susan.
My sister
Nicole,
did that.
Nicole, is part of the reason you called is because I see you're going to be 28 this year and you're single and starting to feel a little desperate. Is that what's going on here?
Oh, desperate's that's too much of a word. No, I just really loved him, and it was really out of nowhere that he broke up with me. I didn't see it coming at all, and I just kind of don't want it to be over. And
Well, I need some more information.
I don't think it is necessarily.
I need some more information. What are your measurements, please?
Do Look, not answer as, that.
As long as God keeps making 22-year-olds, 28-year-olds are going to have trouble, right?
No, but you know what? It's really interesting that you pointed out that Nicole is 28, because 28, 29 is the big year when Saturn comes back to where it was at birth.
Oh, you don't have to tell me that.
Yeah, and right. She wants to know the future. She wants to settle things and get started and build a foundation. That's what happens between 28 and 29. We all have a big year that year. We all do something important, and there's a longing for stability. So you weren't that far off when you asked. So that Bean that asked that?
Yes. Good luck to you, Nicole. Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. We only have time for one more, Kevin. How about Cherie on line 8? She's in Redondo Beach. This is a curious question. Cherie, first tell us when your birthday is, what time you're born, and where, if you would.
December 27th, 1961, and I don't know the time, but it was in Hollywood, California.
Okay, great. And what is your question?
I was told by a psychic that I'm going to be a millionaire someday, and I just wondered if that was true.
Well, You know, astrology
is this a showdown between astrologers and psychics? What's your opinion of one another?
Well, you know what it is? You're born with Jupiter in Aquarius, which fills your second house of income. I don't know about millionaire, but you're always going to pull down a really, really good salary. And especially if you're in some new kind of field, like high tech or bio something or other. You know what I mean? Anything new. What do you do for a living?
I work at space technology.
Aha!
Oh,
you're in the right field.
Oh,
exactly right. And so, yeah, newly invented forms. Exactly right. Hey, listen, you were born this year. The luckiest day of the year was December 23rd, and your birthday is within 4 days of that. That means this is a really special year for you. It's just great. I want you to go out there. You've got a margin of error that you could make a mistake and get up and try again. There's no penalty. You know what I mean? I want you to go out there because you've got such luck on your side this year. And next year is a huge financial year, 2009, for all the little Capricorns. So, I mean, this is good. You're in the right field.
I feel like we have a third grade teacher that's talking to us as third graders.
If you fall down, you can get up.
You can get up. Oh, I'm so excited for you.
You just go out there and make it happen, Cherie.
The little Virgos can't do that right now. They have to follow the chalk line. They don't have that.
I know. I hate
the Pisces
them.
Neither.
Oh, Pisces. They blow.
Well, it's just right now. It's not always, but just right now.
I know. You don't have to tell me.
Cherie, good luck with the million, my dear. Thank you for calling. I'm very disappointed, by the way, that we never got Susan to say Uranus. I know we tried, Kevin, a couple of times.
Because she says Uranus.
With all the planets that are out there, she somehow manages to miss that one. All right. Here's the recap. LearningAnnex.com for the information. The Learning Annex is at 11850 Wilshire Boulevard in L.A. tonight at 6:45. It's the year ahead 2008 class, and you can just show up. You can register and pay at the door. Is that right, Susan?
Yeah, I think so. It's good to call up and just, you know, put your name down on the list. But yeah, we're not going to turn anyone away. No.
And the website, of course, is astrologyzone.com if you want to get in touch with Susan if you're intrigued by what you've heard today. Susan, we love you. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is it a bad sign, Kevin, if you're a Phoenix Suns fan and you wake up this morning and you pick up your Arizona Republic newspaper and the headline is Shaq to Suns? Is this a joke?
Yes,
is it a bad sign when the people in the town of the team that you may be coming to don't want you to come?
Well, they all love Sean Marion. He's a great player, but he's wanted to be traded. He was doing a lot of talk like Kobe was here.
Yeah.
I want to be traded. I want to be traded. So it looks like they're going to trade for Shaquille O'Neal to come to the Suns.
How weird would that be?
And we have Shaq on the line. Good morning, Shaquille.
Oh, can you give it to me?
Well, frankly, we thought you'd retired. I thought you weren't even in the NBA anymore because you sit on the bench so much. But apparently you're still up for playing and you still want to come to Phoenix, huh?
Who is the man who's coming to the Western Conference to kick Kobe Bryant's ass on a semi-regular basis? Shaq!
Yeah, I don't think so. Shaq, it's got to be hard leaving a team that has won a total of 9 games this year. And lost like 200.
Actually, guys, seriously, the reason I'm leaving the Miami Heat, the reason I'm leaving that team is because of the heat.
The heat?
The temperature in Miami is too hot.
But I got bad news for you, Shaq.
You're going to Phoenix, right?
That's right.
Yeah, hotter.
Phoenix!
It's a little hotter, though.
It's a team named the Suns.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team's named the Suns.
Because the sun.
Oh, never mind. Right. Hey, Shaq, I'm not sure if this is correct or not, but I think it all rides on a physical. Are you going to be able to pass the physical? After all, you have played a total of about a minute this year.
Well, hey, I got a poem.
You have a poem?
I got a poem.
A poem.
Okay.
That's right. Will I stay in Miami? I doubt it very highly because I'm sick and tired of that mother effer Pat Riley.
Well, that, a lot of people are saying that's the problem is you fighting with the coach, right?
There's more to the poem.
Okay.
Okay.
I ain't going to retire because I still got skills. And I love basketball like Heath Ledger loved the pills.
Come on.
What's wrong with that?
Come on. Now, is this a response from the Suns after the Lakers got Pau Gasol? Is this they need a big body in the middle so they can take on the Lakers?
Oh, they don't need much to take on the Lakers. Nobody needs that much to take on the Lakers.
Yeah.
But with me on the Sun, the Lakers stand no chance.
What are you basing that on?
What about with you on the bench where you'll be most of the time?
Well, they're going to call me the eclipse.
The eclipse?
That's right. To the sun. Like when you're sitting in the stands, I'll be the solar eclipse.
Okay. I'd like to see how that works.
Sure. I can't really picture that.
Fellas.
Yes, yes,
sir. You want to break another story? I'll let you break a bigger story.
Okay,
yeah.
I got a bigger story. I, Shaquille O'Neal, am having a love affair with Michelle Obama.
With
what?
Osama? I'm sorry.
Barack Obama's wife?
That's right.
Slip.
With Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Who is the man who's having an affair with the next First Lady of the United States? Sure.
Not a very good song, really.
Well, good luck with that and all. It seems like that's, you know, you're asking for trouble. That's kind of high profile. I you might want to stay away from that.
Oh, that baby's got back.
Oh, baby does have back, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Well, Shaq, I guess what we're saying is we welcome the trade. I mean, you know, the opportunity to beat up on the big man every time you come to Staples Center will be fine, I think, with Laker fans.
Oh, I can't wait to see you at the Staples Center. It's going to be great.
Thank you, Shaq. Best of luck.
All right, good luck to you too, fellas.
Okay, but time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do have more passes to give away to the advanced K-Rock screening of Jumper. Jumper, of course, the biopic, the story of Chris Cross.
Yeah. Make you want to jump.
Yeah, I do, and that's why you're a jumper.
I don't think that's what it's about.
What? No, actually, it's about a dude who has a genetic anomaly that allows him to transport himself anywhere in the world.
He's like Hero from Heroes, right? He can just blink his eyes and
exactly.
go.
Exactly, and just show up someplace else, which is pretty cool. However, there is a group that has been sworn to bring down the jumpers.
They don't like
this
jumping?
This war has been raging for thousands of years between the jumpers and those who are sworn to bring them down.
Why are they bringing them down?
They believe it's unnatural that only God should be everywhere at once, that man shouldn't have the ability to be able just to teleport anywhere he wants to go.
But don't the people that are trying to kill the jumpers, aren't they able to jump as well?
I do not know the answer, sir. However, if you go to... JumperTheMovie.com. I bet all of your questions will be answered there.
All right, then.
If you'd like to see the film that opens on Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, you can see it before anybody else on Tuesday, the 12th. We're having a special K-Rock advanced screening. I've got two pairs of passes right now to give away. Two different lucky listeners will win a pair of passes to go see the advanced screening of Jumper. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Callers number 4 and 5. If your callers 4 and 5, you will get a pair of tickets to go see Jumper.
Argar?
Yes, sir.
Speaking of new movies, do you happen to see anything last night that involved a white man with an afro?
Oh, yeah. Did you see Semi-Pro?
I ended up not going last night. Oh. I will be going tomorrow night.
Oh, awesome.
Fantastic. So I can't wait to hear what you think about that.
I will give you all the details as soon as I get to see Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell.
Starting to see the commercials.
Looks hilarious.
Looks funny, right?
It does.
Looks very, very funny. The toxicology report is back from the chief medical examiner of New York City. Heath Ledger's death on January 22nd has been ruled an accidental overdose.
That answer is true.
Okay. Apparently, Heath took a accidental mixture of prescription medication that caused, in the words of the medical examiner, acute intoxication. It was combined effects of oxycodone, hydrocodone, diazepam, temazepam, alprazolam, and doxylamine.
Perhaps.
Doxylamine.
Perhaps mixing all those, not the best idea.
Yeah, so basically what he took was Valium, Xanax, Avitan, Lunesta, Restoril, just a bunch of drugs, basically for either anxiety or insomnia, and it was a deadly combination. Five different medications were found in his apartment at the time of his death, and it looks like it was an accidental overdose by a bad combination of prescription drugs led to the death of Heath Ledger. So
it's very sad.
Now we know. I'm not really pleased with the fact that no one seems to be taking seriously the fact that Falco passed away on this date in 1998.
Well,
seems like
we mostly got over it in 1998.
Seems like Austria's greatest star is being largely ignored today, and I'm not pleased about that.
What is it that you want from us?
I'd like a little respect, first of all. I've been in the office while you guys are, you know, talking about astrology and whatnot. Right. I've been listening to Rock Me Amadeus over and over again, the many different versions. And it just seems to me, not only don't we know enough or give enough tribute to Falco, but I think Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart really is being largely ignored on this day as well. I mean, the two go hand in hand.
Did he die on this day?
No, he didn't. But, of course, you know, Falco kept the flame of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart burning.
Okay.
With his popular song, Rock Me Amadeus.
Okay.
So I think maybe we all need a little lesson in history about Mozart.
Okay.
Please enjoy.
1756, Salzburg, January 27th, Wolfgang Amadeus is born. 1761, at the age of 5, Amadeus begins composing. 1773, he writes his first piano concerto. 1782, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart marries Constance Weber.
There'll be a test.
1784, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart becomes a Freemason. 1791, Mozart composes the Magic Flute. On December 5th of that same year, Mozart dies. 1985, Austrian rock singer Falco records.
You got it? Do you see now the scope that we're talking about?
Wow, it's a lot more than I realized.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's something. Huh?
What year did Mozart become a Freemason?
1792?
No, 1784.
Like I care.
Told you there'd be a quiz.
By the way, that part...
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
That part was really on the song.
Don't that remember was that. The intro to the American version really of the song, yes. We miss you, Falco. At least some of us do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rick Astley.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 42 years old today. The reason we laugh is because Kevin and Bean spent some time with him.
Yeah.
A while ago.
Gay.
Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses is 46 years old today. Happy birthday, Axel! Have yourself some cake! See, because that's how he sings.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw. You remember him from NBC?
The guy you couldn't understand?
Tom Brokaw.
Speaking of the election returns last night, and you were mentioning earlier that you missed Mr. Brokaw's participation since he doesn't do it for NBC anymore, I found my new porn name. When this job falls apart probably soon and I'm going into porn, I think my new name I'm taking from what I saw on TV last night is going to be Montana Caucus.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
What do you think?
Nice.
Excellent.
I like it.
Sounds like a chick.
Yeah, it does. But
you don't think Montana goes either way?
Guy Montana, no.
But
no?
It's Bean.
It's Bean.
Yeah, I don't know
a woman.
That's true.
Mostly a woman.
It could be one of those hermaphrodite porn stars.
Yes.
One of those lady boys? No, thank you.
You know, I heard you talking about Bean's blog yesterday.
Yeah.
So, against my better judgment, out of sheer morbid curiosity, I turn the channel over there. What are you on the internet? How do you go?
Turn
there?
The channel.
Turn
yeah.
the channel over.
I thought you were boycotting my blog and anything associated with
did
it.
Did you see the thing about the snails?
Piqued my interest because of the snail story. So I said, this can't be true. Kevin is making this up out of whole cloth. And I went there and I found it to be actually true.
Yeah.
And I realized, it dawned on me what the problem is. Bean is to anecdotes what the Armenian comedian is to jokes. Which means they have no talent in that area whatsoever.
Right.
But they have nothing but sheer confidence that everything they do is freaking spun gold.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Sam, the Armenian comedian, thinks every joke he tells is hysterical and people are dying to hear his comedy. Bean thinks his freaking stories have any interest to anybody and that people will want to read them. It's all the confidence with nothing to back it
do
up.
Do you know, are you aware, Ralph, that he has never gone to Arizona to see a spring training match of his Seattle Mariners? Are you aware of that?
How does he lack the self-editing gene where most of us say, geez, there's nobody who would want to know that. That's a private thought for me just to hold on to.
Asperger's.
But he feels not only the need to say it aloud, but to write it down and publish it in a form that can be viewed.
Yeah. Yeah, he does that.
And at least on top of it.
Everything is not an anecdote.
Oh, come
on. You have to discriminate.
Come on.
You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally.
I was trying to.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea.
Yes.
Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Okay.
I'm going to let my pigs work out their differences.
Yeah.
F you! Don't even... That's for you! In your own private head.
So much interesting for the listener is there's a disconnect between that and Bean.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
I don't believe I care to be compared to the media comedian in any way, shape, or form.
That's too bad, because I realize it's the exact same neuroses that is at work here.
That is correct.
You don't know, man.
I do know. Sadly, I do know.
Why don't you spend a few more minutes talking about the late Falco and then lecture me on what people care about?
Falco, by the way, who's a movie about his life coming out later this month, I'll have you know. So it's not just me. An entire world weeps the thought of Falco's death, my friend. I don't see you making a movie about your two pigs working things out in the barn. That's all I know.
We are a sad collection of people on this show, aren't we?
Well, there's no question about that.
I drink your milkshake.
Oh!
I drink it up.
Nailed.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That song's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
And bastards.
Kevin and Bean.
Give him a lethal overdose of whatever he's hooked on.
We can't talk about
somebody
that.
Somebody called Dr. Drew.
We can't talk about that.
Give him a Ledger Hunt cocktail.
I'm going to send him a care package.
Keith Ledger cocktail. Keith, I said. All right. Just
sorry. Your first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
This show maintained all of its professionalism right up until about 9:30, and then it just went off the rails. Yeah. How about a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Kings take on the Calgary Flames on Friday, February 15th, plus passage to the K-Rock tailgate party before the game that is hosted by our own Stryker and his tail, and of course, Kings great Marty McSorley. You know who will enjoy those hockey tickets. You know who loves hockey more than anyone in the world? Palisades on line 3, 1-800-520-1067.
Your name is Palisades?
Yes.
And you're calling from?
Pacific Palisades.
Palisades.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay.
What a coincidence.
All right. Turn down your radio for us, sweetheart, and tell us what we can do for you.
Quit clowning on Snoop. It's not that he just went into a doctor and said, I'm Snoop, I like to smoke marijuana, give me a license. He has legitimate reasons. Everybody does.
What tell is, us what they are, his illness.
Well, anything from insomnia at night to being anorexic to having depression to having, all different types of reasons like that.
But Palisades,
anything.
First of all, you know we were clowning on Larry King for the most part.
Okay. Well, I heard you all say that Snoop could just walk into the doctor's office and say,
well,
hey,
of course,
give me my license.
Because he's that cool. That's what I said, because he's Snoop Dogg. What are the chances that he's got some kind of a medical condition that he can get a prescription for medical marijuana for a guy who has done nothing but smoke weed his whole life?
There are certain conditions that almost everybody has.
Palisades.
And almost everyone should be smoking pot.
Palisades, you're missing the point.
That's her point.
I love Snoop. I'm glad he gets it. I find it funny that he's getting medical marijuana, but I'm glad. I don't care.
It's not funny, though. He has legitimate...
Palisades.
He smokes like a crazy man.
He smoked for 30 years. Then he got an enormous legal hassles when they busted him for carrying weed several times. Now, all of a sudden, he's got legal weed. All of a sudden, he developed a new symptom for something he needs some help for.
Maybe he had anxiety from not being able to smoke pot anymore.
There you go. It's all 100% legitimate. There's so many different illnesses.
Okay,
cancer to everything. And honestly, it is legitimate. It's 100%. If you get migraines, you have chronic migraines.
Absolutely.
What does he have? What does he have, Palisades?
Do you know Snoop personally?
No comment.
Okay. Look, thank you for the call. I think we're all on the same page. We're just saying it different ways. Lots of people make up the illness that they need to get whatever prescription they want from the doctor. I mean, that's just how it works.
And we're fine with that.
We're fine with that.
But
yeah,
the truth,
no,
she's right. The point, you can go to any doctor, the doctors that serve up the medical prescriptions for marijuana and say, I'm having a hard time sleeping. And they go, okay, here's your script. Or you know what? I'm a little nervous when I take a test. Okay, here's your script. I mean, you can get away with almost anything.
And if one of those doctors there and Snoop walks through the door, they just say, how much do you need? Because he's that cool. That's the point.
Exactly.
I wish I could get it.
We all saw the episode of Entourage, man. We know the drill.
All right, let's go to Rob, who is calling us from South Bay. Good morning, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hi, Rob.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
All right, so here's my idea. We need to start a betting pool like they do for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And we take one team on defense, one team on offense. Everyone picks a player, and then we draw the squares at the end. Whoever tags Psycho Mike's wife gets a day with her when she gets back from Hawaii.
I see. So we're doing a pool for which NFL superstar at the Pro Bowl is going to bang Mike's wife, because she's there with Tony Gonzalez.
You pick a square so you don't know, and then the players are picked afterwards. It's luck of the draw, and whichever one tags her at the end You get a date with her when she gets back.
You get a date with her.
I like it. I like
but
it.
Odds are everybody's going to win. She's there for a week.
Well, then, you know, that could be it.
Everybody who picks a square could actually be a winner by the time it's all over.
Well, it's also like, you know, you win the first quarter, the second quarter, the fourth quarter. So
I gotcha.
Really thought this out.
He has, yeah.
I'd like to see her over-under, if you know what I'm saying, huh?
Oh, dear God.
Hey, Psycho Mike, have you gotten any kind of update from Hawaii? How is Jenny enjoying her time at the Pro Bowl?
She's having the time of her life.
I bet she is.
Hanging out with Peyton Manning?
We were in the show meeting yesterday, and I'm getting a text message from my wife, and it says, at the gym, hanging out, talking to Peyton Manning. He's real nice. Who knows who we'll see at the pool bar? You know, it's like just unbelievable the NFL superstar life she's living.
So yeah, Peyton Manning's been
here,
there.
Stuck here with you guys.
Yeah.
I wonder if Eli was there cheering Peyton on.
Sound like?
Go pay, you have more anal.
Oh. Does it have to be like that?
I heard they made Jenny a honorary wide receiver.
Is that right?
Oh, I love it.
She went out to Hawaii as a tight end.
Yeah, she's already qualifying more as a tight end.
She's already split out, wide out. Yeah. Yeah.
Now she's a defensive end.
Oh. Let's talk to Mario on line 6, calling from Los Angeles. Something we missed. By the way, I never fully understood what happened in the with the ballots yesterday with all the F the Indians ballots. Did we F the Indians or do we not F the Indians? What happened?
We F the Indians.
I think we did. We're giving them a lot of money because they're getting all these slot machines they get to put into their casinos. That's not an F, really. That's
so the red man is happy as a result of the vote yesterday?
Well, some of them are.
I think so.
The Morongos are.
The four tribes that have benefits.
They're happy.
Okay, so we failed then.
Did we F any of the Indians?
I think the Cherokee.
Got money from
okay. The Cherokee, I think we screwed over. And the Apaches. I think they're still screwed.
Good. All right. That was important.
The California Apaches.
And the Pontiacs.
Mario, good morning.
Hey, guys, the other 909 takes a lot of heat. But, I mean, they bring it on themselves. Come on. They had a measure last night, Measure 8. And what it says was, reduce the noise emitted by crowing roosters. How the hell are you going to reduce the noise of crowing roosters? Maybe
ask
you don't
Bean.
Have 20
yeah.
in your
Wait
house.
A minute.
Bean's got a solution for that.
They put that on the ballot?
That it was on the ballot.
You can vote for quieter roosters?
To limit the number of actual roosters you can have in each single family home.
Oh,
that's what they're trying to do, is to try to stop people from having a bunch of them making a hellacious racket in the neighborhood. I gotcha.
I mean, come on, limit it at 5?
Dude, I think the problem is if you have more than one, I think that's the problem. I think they start to compete with each other for the hen's attentions, and that's when they start doing the nonstop crowing all the time, I think.
Yeah.
They could have just sent Bean well there taking care of the problem.
When he takes care of it.
Only in Riverside would you find anti-cock legislation. That rarely pops up in other communities.
That's true.
I'll tell you, Mike's wife voted no on that proposition, I'll tell you that. All right. I want to thank our special guest, Susan Miller, for joining us. She, of course, is the crazy astrology lady. Go to astrologyzone.com. I heard that Charles, the security guard, was out making time with Susan while she was waiting for her cab. Is that true? Did anyone see that with their own eyes?
He was getting his chart made up.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we all know Charles.
Yeah.
He's doing.
Keeping it funky.
He's doing what he's got to do.
Susan, of course, has the appearance tonight at the Learning Annex. If you want to be part of that, go to learningannex.com or call 310-478-6677. What about tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show?
Tomorrow morning, I don't know if you heard this week, Ralph did a story about Craig Ferguson, talk show host, getting his American citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Had to take the quiz. Well, we gave the quiz to Psycho Mike. We sent him out on the streets to ask random people if they know the answers to the American citizen quiz.
They're natural-born Americans.
Yes.
Hmm.
Not all of them. Oh.
But if they didn't pass the quiz, maybe you should have kicked them out then.
We're also going to give away Grammy tickets again tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. We've been doing that all week. We have it tomorrow and Friday. So tomorrow that's coming up. We got Bobcat Goldthwait in the studio tomorrow.
Great.
Fantastic.
What are the gayest songs ever? That came up from Rick Astley today.
Come, come, my baby, my pretty, pretty baby, my butterfly baby with the baby, baby, baby.
Crazy Town,
sure. Has to be on the list, man.
And tomorrow morning, we're going to start giving away tickets for our next singles party, which is Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rocks.
Love on the Rocks!
Singles party. It's going to be Halloween night for those of you that don't have somebody.
Really?
So
Halloween?
Not Halloween.
Halloween? Halloween, really?
It's a long way for a party.
That's a lot of giveaways.
What the hell?
It's going to be Valentine's night, I meant to say, which is next Thursday night. So we're going to give away tickets starting tomorrow morning. I'm Kevin.
And don't forget, tomorrow I do have my four-part series, an interview with Falco's drummer's wife.
Yeah.
I'll be doing.
Did we mention that on the air?
We're talking to Falco tomorrow?
No.
Falco's drummer?
He passed away in 98, but I'll be talking to Falco's drummer's wife. I have an in-depth interview with her. Four-part series.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. How lucky are we, huh?
It'd be pretty cool.
Okay. That's tomorrow, huh?
Yep. Four-part series. Tune in.
four parts.
Yes.
All right. Cat Corbett coming up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Stick around for some Bad Religion. Also, Body Snatchers. It's the new one from Radiohead's In Rainbows. We got Linkin Park, Killers, Foo Fighters, and more coming up next on K-Rock.